It's okay. It's okay. He won't hurt us. He would have killed me by now. Okay? I think it's because we're not actually part of the movie. He doesn't really know what to do with us.
Hello and welcome to another movie podcast, a show that takes official movies and makes them feel quite unofficial with Luke's opinions. I am Oscar. With me today is...
Not Luke, obviously.
Cool. Big. And?
Not Luke, but Ralph.
Yes. I used that on Ralph last time, right? Or like two shows ago.
I have no clue what you
did. This is episode number 51 that I do know. Today's show will consist of course, three newish films, and well, two newish films, and one marathon pick that we'll be reviewing today. One of them will be the Marvel/Sony joint movie, Deadpool 2, starring Ryan Reynolds, of course, the hit from 2 years ago, I think it came out. And we're going to be doing HBO's latest TV movie. They release a few a year, and this is a big one, bigger than most of their movies, I think. And it's Fahrenheit 451, which stars Michael Shannon and Michael B. Jordan. And then we'll end our today's show with a review of a classic from the 50s, Luke, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, Ben-Hur. It's the movie that initially broke all the records for winning the most Oscars that year, I think. Obviously, it's been broken since, but that broke it the first time. And, of course, you can follow this show and everything we do on the show over at our website, otherpodcast.com, as well as you can send feedback to podmoviecast@gmail.com. Another thing we'll be doing is that we'll talk about recent discoveries, but before we get to that, we're going to talk about a little bit on the bonus front. The bonus front is where we do bonus shows once a month. We review one of the movies that comes out that month, and one of us three, or maybe when you guys don't feel like watching it, I get somebody else to watch it with me. And we'll do a bonus episode for those who donate to our show. Again, where you can find it, otherpodcast.com. And you will get yourself a personalized that show 5 months before the rest of the world gets it. And the show that will be coming out this month for those people who donate is going to be Solo, a Star Wars story. Who's going to see that with me? I'm sure you two will see it, right?
I will do my best.
To watch it?
Well, yeah, I'm going to watch it somehow.
You're going to find a way. And then the bonus show that came out 5 months ago that's coming out today for everyone is The Shape of Water, which I think Roth and I reviewed 5 months ago. I think it was in December. And so check those out now whenever you can. Now let's get into our recent discoveries. Luke, you're going to go first. And you've seen three films today, starting with an old one. What is that old movie?
It is Suspiria. The... Italian, I guess.
Dario Argento,
yes. I don't know. Don't want to call it like a horror, but like a, I don't know, like a
thriller.
Like suspense.
No, it's a horror. It's, I mean,
yeah, it doesn't seem very horror-y. But
I mean, I just, did you say horror-y?
Horror-y. But yeah, they got recently re-released on Blu-ray.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, dude, the transfer is amazing.
Yeah, I have a shitty DVD transfer.
Then I came across it again after the whole pre-order thing ended. It literally like tripled in price. And I was like, oh, I should have bought it when I had the chance.
Should have bought me one. Yeah.
Yeah. But nonetheless, my buddy had it, so we checked it out. Classic movie.
Yeah, it's a classic. I mean, it's a horror classic. Yeah, it's Italian cinema.
I love the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's been a while since I've seen it. But yes, I remember some details for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the band was Goblin that they did the whole soundtrack. It's amazing.
I believe you.
Yeah.
Isn't it like an orphanage or a girls dancing group?
It's
something?
A dance school.
Dance group, yeah, dance
this
school.
This chick goes to from the America to Germany.
Yeah.
And then like some chick gets killed and there's like some crazy stuff going on.
Did you see it in Italian?
No, I saw it in English.
The American, a horrible dubbing?
Yes.
It's really bad dubbing.
Dubtacular.
Oh, it's really bad dubbing.
Loved it.
But back then that was considered probably good.
Yeah.
You know? Really,
but
no,
it was still
dubbing.
A really good movie. Still holds up, I think. So,
yeah.
Fortunately, I think they're remaking this one.
Oh yeah, they've been wanting to remake this movie for a while. I think there have been some really heavily, filtered, almost like remakes, but not really remakes. Suspiria is considered to be Argento's masterpiece, and don't get me wrong, it's a good movie. But I personally have always liked Deep Red a lot better. I think Deep Red holds up a lot better, and I love watching that film more than Suspiria. But that's just my opinion. But of course, for those who are interested in old horror or any horror, watch those movies. So that's Suspiria. Glad you finally closed the gap on that Italian director for now.
Yeah,
what else have you seen?
Good. I did manage to see Icarus. the Netflix documentary that I believe won the Oscar.
Yes, it did. It did, yes.
Yeah, I think directed by Brian Fogel.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That tracks. So.
No, it's really good. I mean, obviously, I think you guys already talked about this before, right?
Yes, and in our recent discoveries.
Yeah, so...
And at the Oscars.
Yeah, not much to say about it. Aside, you know, it's crazy that this turn of events was able to take place. You know, with the doctor and everything. With the
I mean, for those who may have forgotten what the movie about.
Oh, it's about steroids and doping and all that kind of stuff in professional sports like the Olympics. And
so it's not about flying or Greek gods or something?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, okay. I'm saying someone listening for the first time, they don't know that.
Yeah. Well, I was a little disappointed. So what? This has nothing to do with mythology.
Right.
Where's Hercules?
Well, the mythology of Putin a little bit.
Right. Really good. Like I said, this is must have been the fucking happiest, the best turn of events for them to make this documentary.
Yeah, you never know where a documentary is going to lead you to. I mean, literally, this movie takes you places.
Yeah.
Takes the director.
I highly recommend it. Yeah. I was sitting on this for quite a while. I don't know if it's going to be good. Right. But...
And it's a Netflix original, guys, so y'all can watch it.
Go Netflix, make that money.
So I'm glad you liked it because it's one of my favorite things about how much it escalates into places you never thought it would go.
Right. It's almost like a movie.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, it feels fake, stranger than fiction shit. When they describe the hidden rooms and the way they snuck in. And
yeah. Oh my God, yeah, that was so good. Yeah. And how they had the whole thing, how one guard takes the bottle and they have a special thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nuts.
It's nuts.
All that for some pee.
All that for some urine.
Yeah. Liquid gold.
And you saw the big blockbuster right now that's still...
Yeah, you guys are doing a show on this one that I wasn't part of.
No, we already did it, yeah. But it's already been released and everything, but I'm saying you...
Avengers Infinity War, oh my God.
Yeah.
Saw it twice. Okay, 1.5. Nah, 1 3/4.
Did you fall asleep? Oh, yeah, you were sick that day.
Really
okay, I remember.
Sick. I couldn't finish
it. I remember now, yes.
But then I went back the second time and watched it in D-Box and got my ass kicked while watching it.
Oh, how was that?
I got my ass kicked.
I mean...
Those chairs violated me.
Is that a good
thing? I want to go back.
Do you work? Okay, you recommend
I feel like I owe the chair a dinner.
So either you're a sadist? No, masochist.
Just throw nachos on it.
But no, the movie was amazing, honestly.
Oh, no, I'm carrying this fishbowl.
It had everything minus a little character development. But honestly, I don't think that's what this movie was meant for. It's just meant for just the action and just the nonstop craziness.
Other than David Lynch, every movie should be meant for that. Okay. Anything else you want to say on it? Because I know you didn't say anything. We did a whole show.
Go see it.
Okay, cool.
I know why it's breaking records. And I can't wait for Endgame.
Is that what the next one's going to be called?
Yeah, Endgame.
Oh, okay. Well,
someone wasn't paying attention.
That doesn't sound finale-y. Well, I don't care. There's just people in a costume. All right, Ralph, you have two films for me. And one I want to see so bad. So let me know what that is about. Is Cargo, right? Something? Just came out, by the way. I'm surprised you just saw it.
Yeah, so my wife and I were deciding on what to watch last night together, and she chose this movie called Cargo on Netflix. Technically a Netflix original. Let me give you a quick thing. After an epidemic spreads all over Australia, a father searches for someone willing to protect his daughter. This is starring Martin Freeman, Anthony Hayes, Susie Poada, Karen Pistorius, and other people. And I'm pretty sure I said that wrong. Directed by multiple people, Ben Howling and Yolanda Ramke, and written by Yolanda Ramke. I think that's why she's part director in it. It was okay.
Okay.
They don't explain the world, which is good. I love it already. It's just in it. We're in it to win it, right? This disease that's, I want to say, almost zombie-like. You can contract. It does take time. It does take time for it to kick in once you do get the disease.
Mm-hmm.
And this is family trying to get away from it. It's Martin Freeman and his wife and his daughter. Daughter's I don't know, a couple months old.
Oh, shit.
Maybe a year at best, At best. And
did he name her?
Yeah, she's
bad.
Yeah.
Bad job. And don't name she's her in a post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah.
Until she's five.
No, I think it happened like it's been only recent.
Oh.
And okay. this takes place in Australia, so there's lack of people.
Yeah.
And which is really cool because you can kind of do this movie where you're just traveling through Australia. And you're well, yeah, there's nobody here. And still make it, I guess, budget-wise. Like, you know, it doesn't feel like you have to make it into a big city. And
That's true.
So, and I don't know if it's contained. We don't know anything about the virus. We just know it comes around, this happens, and blah. Reminds me a little bit like, what's that video game?
The video game? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Last of Us.
Okay.
Kind of like that disease.
Okay.
So yeah, that being said, you have 48 hours once you contract it. Cool concept. A lot of cool stuff going. Very tropish, though, some of the things that happen. I've seen it in all these type of post-apocalyptic movies.
Okay.
Nothing super crazy out there. Also, time feels sort of convenient in the movie with the 48 hours. But other than that, they did some cool things that were kind of to Australia, the way they speak, the Aboriginals, and stuff like that. So that actually worked out. Some of the stuff was cool. But overall, I've seen better. So it wasn't anything, nothing crazy, nothing great, but nothing crappy, nothing too shitty either.
This is like a good, maybe like a, just a fun horror movie. Is it?
It's not a really horror. No. It's well, not even more. I guess it's just more. It's not actiony, but drama. I guess more suspense drama. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, drama thriller. I guess is what's. That's
well, they should really change that poster because that poster makes it seem like it's a horror movie, and I want to see a horror movie when I saw.
You know what? It feels like the horror aspect is getting the daughter safe. That's about it. But you only feel that a couple times, and not enough. So yeah.
Kind of like The Quiet Place.
Sure.
But if the kid showed him safe.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's Cargo, and then you saw another one.
Yeah. The other movie is, I've never finished it before, so I'm considering it my first watch.
Okay.
It's a UHF. It is a 1989 film.
Weird Al?
Starring, yes, Weird Al. Written by Weird Al and directed by Jay Levy. There's other people in this movie that are...
Michael Richardson.
Huh?
Kramer.
Yeah. I was about to read everybody. Yeah. Victoria Jackson, Kevin McCarthy, Michael Richardson, David Bowie, Stanley Brock, Anthony Greery, a bunch of other people.
All right.
Kind of bonkers.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
Who wants to drink from the fire hose?
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of a bonkers movie. And if I don't think I appreciated it as much as I did back when I saw the movie. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of those movies also now that you're watching, you can barely still relate to. But I think in like 10 years, we'll be next to impossible to relate to this movie. Like, not next to impossible, but just really, really hard to even look at it and be like, there was a time that people did that. It's about having your own TV station, like super local, super, you only hit the airwaves of these people. Yeah. Like, that's just, it almost feels like redundant now watching it. But I think 10 years from now, it'll really, really feel that way.
Like Stone Age.
Right, yeah, Stone Age type thing. But it was fun to watch. There was some cool stuff going on. I love the fact that he's out there, and I love how Weird Al is always just himself, being weird, I guess, if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah.
But he definitely,
dude, that guy's really normal in real life.
Probably, yeah. But he definitely like I see a lot of stuff nowadays, TV shows and movies, mm-hmm. that I saw in this movie. That just being out there, you're like, oh, like, he's in his thought process and he's in his mind, and we're watching what's going on in his mind. And you're seeing that now, and it's been since 89 this movie's been out, and you're seeing that, like, more current stuff. Like, more people are doing that now than there were way before.
Yeah.
It's, like, a lot rarer back then. So for him to be, like, himself, and people are doing that now, like, oh, well, if I'm just myself and I do whatever, you know, artistic craziness.
Yeah, there's definitely been a large wave of that.
Yeah, he definitely is, like, a very good what's a precursor to that. So it's really cool. I enjoyed the movie quite a lot.
I have so much respect for Weird Al. I mean,
still funny. So do I. Still funny to me. He had some obviously music going on for himself and everything like that. And I do like the fact that even though he is the main actor in the movie, it doesn't feel like he's the main actor. He feels like he's almost just there for the ride. But he is the main actor. But at the same time, it is the ride. It doesn't feel too much like him at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's good.
So that's UHF. Is it available anymore? Did you have to buy it or rent it?
It was on Stars, I think, or Encore or something.
That's fine. All right. My turn here. I only have one, strangely.
Yay.
Luke has the most. I only have one. Isn't that funny?
Hell froze over.
I saw the movie they were supposed to fucking review today, and it's Paterno. which is the other HBO original TV, made-for-TV movie, whatever they call it. And I'm going to read the description here. The film centers on Joe Paterno, who, after becoming the most successful coach in college football history, that's pretty big, by the way, is embroiled in Penn State's Jerry Sandusky sexual abuse scandal, challenging his legacy and forcing him to face questions of institutional failure regarding the victims.
Abuse.
I know.
Abuse. Did you just let your inner Canadian slip?
Abuse.
By the way,
I talked to a Canadian.
Okay, recently. I was actually looking forward to watching this movie.
I'm about to tell you. So it's sports. It's sports, right?
Sports.
I will say this: the whole time I was watching it, I'm like, "Where is the 30 for 30 that will be better than this?" And I'm sure there is.
They're busy making the Michael Jordan stuff right now.
But didn't they make one already? You don't think they would have made one by now?
No.
No? Because this came out, this happened, the scandal didn't happen that long ago, but it didn't happen like last year either.
No, the thing is, like, a lot of people are doing stuff like that, and I think 30 for 30, they want to make stuff like that, but they're just like, let's focus, we have other things on the project already. Okay. This just popped up.
Oh, other things in the oven?
Cause yeah.
And it stars Al Pacino, Kathy Baker, Kenneth Mirage, Baharash, Michael Maestro, Joshua Morgan, Josh DeGraw, a bunch of people, yeah, I'm not going to talk about that. Larry Mitchell. Anyway. So this is just drama, man. It's like a sports drama. And the funny thing is that it takes a very – like the most sports you get is in the beginning of the movie where we show the – Joe Pa, they call him. You know about this guy, Ralph?
Sandusky?
Paterno.
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. Only what I've heard in
I know
news.
Nothing. I knew nothing going on.
Only what I know in news and only in the scandal. So.
I knew nothing other than the fact, like, well, Pennsylvania is what you get. Other than that, I knew nothing. I don't know who Sandusky was. Did you know that, Luke?
I know of Sandusky.
Okay.
He touched the little boys.
Right. He touched a lot of little boys. He didn't also prejudice odd ages, too. He went through all over the place, apparently. And so the question of this movie there's a moral focus to this movie about whether or not Joe Pa deserves to be either fired or punished for letting it happen, because you know he's the god of this campus,
right?
And even literally, though he doesn't own anybody, and even though he has levels of bosses above him, like, people still see him as the guy in charge.
Yeah.
And for all intents and purposes, he was the man in charge.
Yeah.
And apparently he died 6 months after he got fired.
That's pretty kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Kind of funny. So the movie poses that question, like, should he be punished for being negligent or for knowing and not doing something about it, or not doing enough or whatever, or for being just because it happened in his backyard? A lot of people, I think that's a question that the movie asks and it doesn't really super answer, kind of lets you answer it.
It's more like, how did he not know? And if he didn't know, why was he so negligent? And
right.
If he did know, right, he should be punished.
Definitely. But is there a level there, sure, where he shouldn't be punished at all? Is there, like, if he didn't know at all, nothing would ever happen, should we blame him for that, you know? And it goes farther into that.
Right.
And, of course, it goes into a lot of school spirit. Apparently, he ran that campus like a military thing, and it was really good. And I even liked it myself on some of the stuff he was doing. The movie opens with him doing a game, you know, like the last minutes of a game. Apparently, he won 109th games in a row or something like that.
It's kind of crazy.
And they show his routine. They show the power of this guy, which is a good opening for the movie because I need to know who the fuck this guy is. And
it's the image that everybody had beforehand, right?
True,
and that's the image you should get right away because then.
True.
Right.
Right. And then as the movie divulges and goes into the dramas and whatever about this guy who touched children and shit and made them do
all
things.
All the kitties.
I started to focus less on giving less of a shit about Paterno and anything about him and more about, like, the journalists. Who was the first person that broke the story? And just like people's reactions that are insane to me watching this film years removed from the incident, and not to mention the fact that I didn't know this was happening.
Right.
That I find out that the more I looked at Al Pacino's fucking big ass nose, I didn't care about it as much. But that's just my own personal taste. All that being said, without spoiling the movie, even though it's based on true story stuff, the movie was fine. It wasn't bad. I would almost call it good. It had some good moments for sure. Like I said, love the opening. So if you're interested in some of those details or some of the it's more like it has like the air, how the air felt or must have felt back then. It's how this movie portrays it. It's not about the facts necessarily. It is, but it's mainly also about how it felt to be in that atmosphere. So if you want to get a glimpse of that, then I do recommend it for you, Ralph. Otherwise, it's not that much of a great movie.
Right? Hour and a half?
Like, yeah, hour and change. Maybe hour 40.
This is Hobo, right? I mean, HBO.
Hobo, yeah. HBO, it is. So that's on there now, as well as the Fahrenheit 451, of course. So check it out, guys. I mildly recommend it. So that is my review of Paternal.
So it's like a biopic-ish kind of movie?
In a way. It's not a documentary. It takes place in the week, in the last week of it's this, like a the week of this
almost like a
reenactment
thing, right, of stuff going on?
I don't know if it's a reenactment. A lot of stuff happens behind closed doors, so I think it's pretty much dramatized.
Okay, yeah. Dramatized shit, okay.
But it does all takes place mainly in the week of this scandal. It doesn't go. It does flashback a little bit, but not like for any biopic purposes. It's just to for him remembering what he was told in '98 about this guy or whatever, you know, things like that. All right, so that's my review, and that is our recent discoveries palette. We're gonna take our almost a break, but no, we're not taking a break. We're going to our first review.
Oh
guys.
Man,
I thought we were taking breaks in between now.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right.
We are taking breaks.
Yeah, we are.
We don't want that to happen again.
Right, but we were going to supposedly do that seamlessly by saying not take a break and we're going to do a review, but then take a break for
real. But now we're taking a break.
But now we're saying it too much, and exactly. Now it's been blown up out
break,
of proportion.
Break.
So break time.
We're getting close. You all know the drill. Intercept the convoy. Watch out for Cable. Hit it. There's this kid. He's in trouble.
Move or die.
Pump the hate brakes, Thanos.
I ain't letting Cable get to him. But I can't do this alone. We need backup.
We're gonna form a super duper fucking group.
It's time to get back on LinkedIn.
Meet Bedlam.
My name's Shatterstar.
Domino, I'm lucky.
Luck isn't a superpower.
And certainly not very cinematic.
Yes, it is.
Let's meet in the middle and say no, it isn't.
And now let's get into our first review of the evening with Deadpool 2.
All right. Deadpool's back. Our favorite merc with a mouth is back with the X-Force. And this time that he's going to go against the time-traveling cyborg Cable.
You should really stop reading off a script, Luke.
I have nothing in front of me.
You're right, glasses.
I'll punch you.
Deadpool 2. I mean, it's a no-brainer. You had to pick this movie.
Yeah.
If you didn't, we would have, right? Ruff?
What?
Would you have? That's a yes.
So would you would have picked this movie? Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well. So how much anticipation did you have for this movie? Let's all talk about that.
Anticipation and like how much I wanted to see it?
Yes.
Very much so.
All right. Like... I guess you love the first movie. You loved it, or like you just liked it?
I mean, I have a heart, so of course I loved it.
Okay. Ross? I wasn't sure where it was.
I enjoyed the fact... Yes, I really, really enjoyed it. Really liked the first movie. But for the fact what they got away with and what they were allowed to do and how it felt very, very true to the character.
All right. Samwise. I mean, all I wanted in this movie, as far as anticipation that I had highly, I just wanted to make me laugh.
Of course.
That's all I wanted. I wanted an action comedy with a capital C for comedy.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I got in this movie. So,
agreed.
I was as happy as a clam watching this movie. I don't expect any substance from Deadpool 2. I just want fun, like a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Some of those jokes were fucking hilarious.
Some of those jokes really, really hit home. Like two or three, especially at the end. Obviously, we're not going to spoil the film. So right away. So let's just start with first impressions real quick, and tell me, Luke, what did you overall think about the movie and some of the setup stuff or the new character Cable, things like that.
It was freaking amazing.
Yeah,
I loved it. Cable was awesome. Kind of had a little Thanos vibe to it for some reason. Can't quite put my finger on it.
I can't do that. Yeah, I had the same feeling in the movie theater. It was very strange.
Yeah, very strange.
We'll figure that one out.
Yeah. No, it was awesome. I mean, the action was friggin' awesome. And I looked it up, but the director's the same guy who did Atomic Blonde.
Yeah, that's why that joke. Remember he mentions that joke about the John Wick joke? About one of the directors that did the one scene in John Wick?
Yeah?
Because some of the directors from the people that choreographed John Wick did Atomic Blonde.
Oh, okay.
And that's Atomic Blonde, and that's why he made that joke.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because John Wick is famous for having choreographers and cinematographers doing film for the first time. But they're really good at action.
Oh, he was also producer of John Wick.
Yeah, producer. That sounds right. Okay.
And he's actually the stuntman.
Yeah.
For
I'll tell you, all these guys worked that
Brad
action
Pitt
stuff.
And Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Nice.
Did you know that?
No, I do now, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This director's been in a lot of shit.
Yeah, he has. Ruff? All right. How about you? What'd you think of this movie?
There was a little bit too much buildup for me for this movie. Don't get me wrong.
Too much hype, you mean?
Too much hype, yeah.
Okay.
Too much hype. From everybody going, like, better than the first one, and bullshit, 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 which I know, like, news companies basically have to say that to get you to watch the second movie. But I was already going to watch this movie regardless.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I didn't know.
But I felt a little bit like it tried, like it was trying a little too hard in the beginning. But once I stopped caring, because it kind of happens really easily with me when I watch a movie, I can just stop caring about what anything else about the movie mm-hmm. and just kind of focus on what I'm watching. It was good. I mean, I still really enjoyed it. I still had fun with it overall watching it. I just felt like it was trying a little hard. Like we have to start at 10, you know, and not even try to build up to it or anything like that. Not that you have to, you can start at whatever level you want. Of course, any movie can.
Right.
But, it felt like I started at 10 right away, max, max, max. And then after that was just like, okay, now we can slow it down. Cause this is what people expect of us. And I almost felt like that, at least in the beginning. I still had fun. I still had a lot of laughs in the movie. A lot of stuff that was, I laughed more at, I guess, more things that other people didn't laugh at. For example, like the big commercial scenes that were in commercials everywhere. Everyone laughed at those scenes. Don't get me wrong, they were funny scenes, but like I laughed at the one like X-Men joke that like 2% of the people in the crowd laughed at. And I was just like, that's funny. For me, that was really funny.
Yeah.
And I felt kind of like a nerd. At the same time, but at the same time, I was just like, well, it was a funny joke.
You are a nerd.
I'm sorry you didn't catch that. And when you're reading the credits or the intro credits and stuff, and you're like, I'm sorry you didn't catch that either. Like, that's not my fault. It's some of the stuff that I like how it just hits for everybody. It's not just like general audiences probably.
Right,
if it still felt a mile a minute, and it still felt like if you get it, you get it. Awesome for you. You get a high five. If you didn't get it, it's just that you didn't get it. And you know what? Hopefully it was funny enough for you just to get that he's making a joke and a reference, and maybe you get a little more culture in you. Have a good day. And that's how Deadpool treats it. At least that's how I feel the movie treats it. And even Deadpool the character treats it. I still like that he's talking to the screen and everything. So
fourth wall breaking. Yes.
Yeah.
What did you guys think? I heard about this recently, and I have read a few. Mine just took a couple. Deadpool comics myself, or his, how he crashes into another person's comic book world, you know?
I have not read any of his.
So, I've been familiar with his shtick for a bit, and obviously I saw that horrible X-Men First Class, or not First Class, it was Wolverine. First Cut.
Yeah, Wolverine.
Who gives a fuck? Anyway, someone was talking about it, and someone told me that the way that Deadpool does a fourth wall breaking is his way to cope with his insanity. How he doesn't actually think anyone's out there. He's just like kind of like shooting at the wind and pretending there's an audience or something.
No,
I'm not saying that's right.
No, but
in the comic books, that's not right. But what
in the comics, he's self aware that he is.
I know that in the comic books, he is self aware. But I'm saying in the movie, that's what they were saying. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of an interesting way to look at it. Obviously, it's not true. But like, I like the way that his insanity is only kept at bay because he can talk to the audience at the same time.
Right.
And I thought that was a nice way to look at Deadpool 2, watching it. But I had a hiccup or two about the film in general because like there's a few things that it tries to hit home that regular movies, by regular meaning movies not Deadpool,
okay,
do that can do it a lot easier, and they're built for that. And this movie's not built for that. It's almost like, I don't know, I'm trying to take like a hardcore Southern rapper to do opera one day. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't look like it's going to fit well. And I'll talk about
Little
that later.
Little Giovanni.
Lil
Giovanni. Yeah, Lil, you haven't heard the breakthrough album?
What's it called?
Gangster of Seville.
That's not bad, actually. Not me for off the top of your head. That's not bad.
I know, right?
It's called Gettysburg. All right. And so, yeah, I did love the film, though. I had too much laughs not to enjoy the film so much.
Yeah.
I literally got exactly what I wanted. Nothing was too much hyped or too low, honestly. Other than that, you know, that whole thing. But that's a third act problem. We'll get to that in a minute. But what did you guys think of the immediate death of his girlfriend and how it became, like, essentially a revenge flick in a way?
Oh, yeah, that was crazy. I didn't know it was going to go that way.
Well, in the opening credits, it tells you, like, well, yeah, we have to kill her because he's describing all this stuff. But I thought it was pretty obvious they were going to do that, or they were going to do something like that. And the introduction of Cable with the kid, that all, you know, shook up for you guys well? Did it all turn out well for you guys? The whole introduction with kid connected with Cable and time traveling.
Yeah, I thought that was really pretty cool. Because obviously, you know, you got to stop him at the source.
I really liked Josh Brolin, though, because he knows how serious he looks as an actor, and he knows how to, like, exploit that to make a laugh. I think that's, like, Brolin's gift right now in this movie, because Cable is badass, and he's a serious guy.
Oh, yeah.
And so when he says words like, I'm not racist, but the way he says it, he's a very self-aware, deadpan, serious character that makes fun of himself, like the actor's making fun of himself. Things like that really work really well for me.
It's almost like he's saying it very serious, but he's embarrassed about it at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I know that you guys don't want to beat around the bush, so let's get into spoilers for Deadpool 2, starting right now.
Domino.
What's your shtick?
I'm lucky.
Luck isn't a superpower.
Don't call it a comeback!
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
You underestimate my powers.
Nice! But not a superpower.
Yes, it is.
Let's meet in the middle and say no, it isn't. You're hired.
Lucky me.
Right. What do you want to talk about first, Luke?
Oh, my God. The insane level amount of jokes in this thing. I don't know. This is hard to recreate. Go watch the movie. The jokes are great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's horrible talking about a comedy when you all can say, like, oh, I love that joke when
The premise is pretty much Deadpool tries to kill himself after the death of his girlfriend. He blows himself up.
Right. Makes fun of Logan.
And then, Oh, God, that was beautiful. Like, the first 5 seconds of the movie.
Yeah. Oh. That also fell short with the crowd.
Yeah, they didn't get it.
No, they didn't get it at first. I heard you laughing about it, and I was like, and I had to focus a little bit. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's so fucked up.
And, because I read an article that said, you need to watch Logan before you see this movie. If you have it, it's going to spoil it for you. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, no fucking way. Like, right now? Holy balls.
Okay. Yeah.
But,
definitely.
Yeah. So basically, blows himself the fuck up. Goes and he gets his body parts get picked up by Colossus and he gets taken to the mansion for the X-Men.
Did you want to see that regeneration that took 3 days?
Kinda.
A little bit.
But I got the gist of it with the little baby legs.
Oh, we all did. And we got last year too with the baby arm.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
So that was awesome. But they try to put him to become an X-Men. And then there's like a disturbance that they go out and it's like some house and this kid's like running amok.
Yeah, it's like a Stryker Institute,
right.
Basically.
I forgot. I was supposed to look it up, see if that had any comic significance, but I didn't.
I'm sure they
but,
do.
Essentially, Deadpool fucks up, kills someone because he finds out that, you know.
Because he can't not kill.
Of course, yeah.
The guy cannot not kill.
But he killed a bad guy that was abusing this kid.
Yes.
So obviously, that's why the kid wants to get out. So, anyway, that causes a chain reaction where eventually this kid is going to become, like, super evil and he's going to want to kill people, leading up to killing Cable's family.
Right, which is why Cable goes back in time to try to kill this kid, this fireball.
Back in time.
Fire fist.
Steals Matt Damon's truck.
Yeah, steals Matt Damon's truck. And then in the meantime, in order for Deadpool to stop Cable from killing this kid because he wants to save him, because he wants to go back to his girlfriend, so in the end it's for a selfish reason, because he can't die, he assembles the X-Force, which is, I think, my favorite bit. My favorite bit. It's because I did not see it coming in the way they did it, and
the recruiting of the people.
Yeah, it's everyone dies.
Except for Domino
doesn't.
Except for Domino, who is, I love her luck power. Reminds me of that girl from Metal Gear Solid 2. Remember? Yeah, I forget her name in the movie.
I only know Barrow.
Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yeah, it was the one where they're in the sea in the oil tank thing. You guys remember that? You first see Ryder in that movie?
I'm trying to remember, but I can't remember.
Yeah, anyway, one of the girls, like one of the people, every time they shot at her, the bullets kept whizzing away.
Yeah.
Anyway, those kind of reminds you of that. Anyway, I didn't think they would do a good job, but they did a really good job of showing this girl's powers. like
Domino.
Yeah, Domino's powers to like be alive at all times.
Yeah,
right.
That was really cool. I liked it a lot.
I really like how the commercial. This is one of the things where the commercials helped us, or the advertisement helped this movie, where they make it feel like this is a big. There's this big fight with all these people with it in it.
Mm-hmm.
he makes this group, and you're like, "Oh shit, it's gonna be a cool group."
Yeah.
Nothing
exactly.
And nothing is like literally just Domino and him. That's it. And it's just it works great. He's like, yeah, the winter weather advisory, right? Everyone knew it was going to be windy out. Everybody knew.
And Deppel would have died too if he didn't have regenerative powers. Like,
right. He's the first one who dies, technically.
Right. Yeah, it was really hilarious. I mean, they hired Terry Crews just to die 30 seconds later.
It was really great.
I also like how in the comparative to the trailers, which, by the way, this might be my favorite marketing campaign of a movie over at least a year. Because it did such a good job with Deadpool.
Deadpool's everywhere now.
They're what?
Like, he's everywhere. Like, 7-Eleven.
Oh, yeah.
Celine Dion.
Yeah, I heard about that. I haven't seen it yet.
The music video?
Yeah. No, I haven't seen it yet.
I think the same guy directed it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
It's an interpretive dance.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Well, can't wait to see it. I know his flash dance move and stuff.
Yeah, well, have you seen the marketing with... Because Fox owns the rights, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, Fox.
So Fox has...
I thought it was Sony.
Fox? No, I think it's Fox. Has an end cap at Walmart with sleeves replacing all the movies, like with Terminator, with all Deadpool stuff in it.
Yeah, our Office Space, but it's
Office
Deadpool.
Space, but it's Deadpool with it.
No way.
Terminator, Deadpool.
See, that's the shit I want out of this character.
That's what it is.
They're treating him so well. I love him. This is why I love it.
Yeah,
this
apparently they spend a lot of money on his advertisement.
Yeah, they have to.
A lot.
They would have to. But
it all pans out.
This is the one character that lives and breathes in that kind of world. Like, you have to use a meta. Like, you have to.
Well, I mean, it starts off right away. Meta, doesn't he? Doesn't one of his first lines saying how they broke records or something like that?
Yes, definitely.
In the very beginning of the movie?
Yes.
But yeah, we broke records. We weren't number one in the U.S., but we were international or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. What I was trying to say is that in the trailers, I think the second one when he's assembling the X-Force on the trailer and these guys like, who are you? What's your power? I just call him Ned. Was that, what's his name? Barry or something?
Peter?
Peter. Thank you.
Yeah, Peter. I just saw the ad, yeah.
Okay. Peter. And before I watch, because I'm talking. Peter, and the next shot, you see him like going down the parachute.
Right before that, as soon as he's like, okay, yeah, you're in, and the cab guy, the pinder, is like, fuck!
Oh, yeah, well, that was in the actual movie. I don't know if it was in the trailer.
Oh, okay.
But I'm saying in the trailer, they show how he's going to hire this Peter guy to be in the X-Force, and you see him, you know, parachuting with everyone, right? Well, little you don't know is that they all die 30 seconds after that. And that's a really great way to, like, suspend that around, and I really love that stuff about it. Someone say something while I see this. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Speed is just his face.
I love, you know, they brought Colossus back. They brought that one girl. I forget
her name.
He gives
her
like his weird name.
Yeah, he does.
But he
gives her a nickname.
And now she has a girlfriend.
She has got a girlfriend, right?
Yukio.
Yukio, yeah.
He's like, bye, Yukio.
Bye, Yukio. He says it so like
every single time.
What
is
style?
He does a Japanese like.
Yeah, he does a Japanese style. But why was that so funny to me every time?
I don't know.
It's because he's
so cutesy.
He got so cutesy. And he's like super nice to her. She's like, oh my God, he's so nice. And she's like, no, he's an asshole. Like,
yeah.
And he's like, bye, Yukio.
Bye, Yukio.
Yeah.
I guess Yukio has a power too. I guess why else?
Right. She was there fighting and everything. Yeah. It was just funny.
Did you guys expect the Juggernaut to be in that thing?
That's a good reveal. That's a good reveal, yeah.
Very good reveal.
Amazing.
I'm like, who could it be? I was thinking, Croc? No, it's DC. And then when once they show, of course it's Juggernaut. Of course. And, I love that. It's a lot of. I mean, I'm not gonna talk about all the one-offs or anything like that. I did like the talk about one-offs for Marvel movies. What's that guy's name? That old guy that's in every one of the movies.
Stan Lee.
Yeah. I like he was just a billboard in the background. He wasn't actually in the movie.
Yeah, Brock didn't catch that.
I didn't catch it.
Oh, you didn't catch it when they were parachuting down.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
I didn't catch it.
Is it. No, he was like graffiti on the side of a building.
Yeah, graffiti or something like that. Like a billboard graffiti or something.
Right. Oh, and the X-Men First Class.
I love the cameo.
In the cover and the back, it says, "I wish I was in this movie."
Oh, but I love that cameo when they were in the mansion. And before that, he's like, "Oh, I want to, you know, how come they don't throw us a bone and pick some other characters?"
Because the place is totally empty. Yeah. It should be.
And then, he's like standing next to a room with the original like first class
with the first class people,
and they just like close the door on him.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Oh, that was top notch.
So I really like the so one thing I didn't buy so much is that I bought like when it comes to sentimentality or coming to the character growth, because there is some of that, there has to be some of that. I bought the stuff with him and his dead girlfriend.
Yeah.
I bought that because it actually took some actual time with it, and they sparsed it out throughout the movie. You know, every time he would die or before he came back again, he would have this dream with her, right? So that stuff worked for me as it went along. One thing that did not work for me so much is like changing this kid's mind to not kill and become this. He's basically doing like a looper thing, right? He's trying to unlooper him. And I didn't buy that so much. That felt hokey and forced to me, how you were talking about earlier, Ralph. And they're trying to like tug into some emotional thing, and it did not work for me at all. But neither did I expected that it would. And I guess I was surprised at how hard they were trying. Right. Is my point, I guess. That makes me want to talk about it. If they were just trying like a regular amount or a less than a Deadpool amount, I wouldn't be saying so much about it. But they really did try to get you in that feeling. And I guess maybe it worked for some people, but it did not work for me. But any of you agree with any of those points or disagree? The whole thing with taking the kid back, saving his soul, so to speak.
I mean, it just goes back to what the girlfriend said. You know, kids are just... You know, we can make better versions of ourselves through a kid.
Yeah.
And he just kind of took that to heart, thinking, like, you know, maybe if he does this task, when he dies, he'll be able to, you know, be back with her.
By the way, he's the worst at dying. He dies like 7 times.
I actually like the fact that he dies, and he's dead, and he's in the afterlife. And he can't really reach it because he knows he's going to come back.
Right.
He's not allowed in the afterlife for real.
Yeah.
It's funny for me because it's like he technically can't ever die.
He can't die. If there's a cell alive, he'll grow from that cell.
Right, yeah. And I'm like, he can't die unless if certain, you know, requirements happen. That's why he's never allowed to actually access being with what's-her-name, right?
Yeah.
And I like the fact that he's there. Lack of Lady Death, but nonetheless, we still get it.
Funny that you mentioned that. So when he died and he went and he was Ryan Reynolds again, like with his hair not burnt and talking to her and shit before he came out of it again.
Yeah.
I thought that the reason he would be alive is that Lady Death was going to come out and like, no, I'm going to keep you on for a while and have like a big like surprise for the next movie.
That would have been funny.
I thought that Lady Death was going to come out in that scene and somehow, yeah, in some way.
That would have been funny.
I'm like, and like some weird like Empress seductive thing once because she loves Deadpool, right? That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
At least likes him. Okay. And I wanted to, maybe they're starting that and that'd be kind of cool, but they didn't. And that's fine though. I did like how Cable, the whole thing with Cable staying. More importantly, I think the post credit scene of this movie it brought the most laughs out of me for sure.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Everyone.
Before I get away from the question you actually asked, it's kind of lackluster. Plot point for that reason, you know,
the,
like
the kid thing?
Change, yeah, kind of tropish, kid changing thing. They still do it in their own way, so it still sort of works out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, but overall, it's fine, it's okay.
Okay,
I mean, I'm not in it for almost that. It's like just there, you know.
I know, but they were really trying something.
They were really trying. It did feel like that, and I get it, but like it feels almost like comic bookish at the same time, and it feels like something dumb that he would do,
yeah.
But it's like a journey for Deadpool. Do you want to see stuff for the journey for him?
Yeah.
Everything in between is what's funny or what's great about it. Not the actual, like that happened and he's like, oh, okay, cool. Like it was just almost felt like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know,
I also really like the Colossal Juggernaut fight. That was longer than I thought they were going to make it. That was really cool though.
The whole trick to Juggernaut is that once you get him in motion, he can't stop, right? Or he can't be.
Yeah. A lot of people don't get that is that he, once
he's the Juggernaut, bitch.
No, that's his thing, is that, yeah, exactly. When he's in motion, he cannot be stopped from that course,
yeah,
so to speak, or that kind of velocity unless he stops himself.
Unless he stops himself.
And so he can keep increasing it if you let him. And if you do that, he can probably take over the whole world, or take out the whole world, let's just say. Yeah. Destroy everything in his path, so to speak.
Sure.
He is the unstoppable force, almost literally.
Quite literally,
the immovable object, it's not Colossus, but it's someone else. But yeah, he's literally that... that's famous saying. But I love that battle. It was really cool. I love how they just stuck a thing up his ass. Right, and at the end,
put him in the water.
And he's still in the water when they
oh, my, oh my God, he's done. He's crispy.
Yeah, he's...
That was really funny. Well, they just left without him there, too.
Yeah, and it also seems like only in Deadpool would you see anything related to that kind of thing. And as I was watching this movie last weekend, I was thinking, like, man, I need more rated R superhero movies. Or not more, but, like, I really need this rated R because I can't.
I just honestly think that you want to make the DC world good, make it rated R.
I think that would be awesome. And they should really do that. They're almost there anyway.
They're almost there. I mean,
it's just what's wrong?
They want to go dark with everything. Just fucking go dark.
Yeah. Now the DC joke, what he says there about the dark, and that was pretty funny. All right. So the post-credit scene where he assassinates Ryan Reynolds for making Green Lantern.
Green Lantern. That was great.
That was my favorite. I did not see that coming.
Well, when he fixes the Wolverine thing also.
Oh, my God.
He's like, no. Nope. I got this. Don't worry.
He empties a clip on it.
Magazine.
Yeah.
Whatever. People know what I mean. Anything else you guys want to talk about in general or any other points about anything?
One of the things I didn't care for the movie was they always have this stupid thing where, you know, like where the kid's chasing the guy he wants to kill room through room.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, come on. Like, really, you had... You couldn't find a better way to do this.
Yeah, they really stretched that out.
Right, it's like, come on.
Well, they have to somehow.
The house has so many rules.
Well, they have to keep an action scene going with Juggernaut and the beginnings of this thing with Cable while he chases them. Because if he has him cornered for 15 minutes, you know, something like that. I guess
it's just very lackluster. That's like
but
the
you
only
could have almost made fun of it too, where you could have been like, why haven't you killed him yet if he's been cornered with you for 15 minutes? Mm-hmm. And you could have almost made that as
made
part
that
of the
into a joke itself. Like, almost. And he can say, well, we could have made him, you know, chase him all over the place. But like, we're saving money, and that's really bad writing.
Yeah.
Although I like all the bad writing jokes about when it comes really to Domino.
That's just bad writing.
That's just lazy writing. Yeah, it was lazy writing. It was literally, I said it right before he said it in my head. So totally, I guess that's good because the movie's so aware about it. I can't really blame it for that. But yeah, I agree. So that is, I believe, Deadpool 2. Everyone's happy?
Yeah.
Cool. I can't wait for Deadpool 3 and might buy this movie too, or I'll wait for Luke to buy it so I can watch it there. All right. So that is it for our Deadpool. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll review our second film, which is what, Luke? It's a temperature.
Oh, Ben-Hur.
Try again.
Celsius.
Try again.
Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit what?
451.
Jesus, he's fucking pulling teeth with you.
What's that?
Is it Kelvin?
It's Kelvin. Kelvin. It's Kelvin. Yes, it's Kelvin. Anyway, stay with us, folks.
In a terrifying, carefree future, a young man, Guy Montag. Montage? It's a montage. Okay. Whose job as a fireman is to burn all books, questions his actions after meeting a young girl, Diggity, and begins to rebel against society.
So is it carefree or carefree?
Free.
Okay.
I heard fee. Also, if you're going to hear a woman cooking in the background, it's my mom.
Paid no mind.
I think I just heard the oven or the stove turn on. So, anyway, Fahrenheit 451. We were going to do Paternal, like we said. This one just came out.
Yeah, like
has a lot of buzz going, by the way. So we're like, not to mention is Michael B. Jordan, which is hidden at them with Black Panther earlier this year, and you know Fruitvale Station, a lot of good movies.
Still haven't seen that. Creed.
Oh, man.
Saw Creed.
Creed is amazing. Yeah.
We have a newcomer, Michael Shannon.
It's about his 20th film in this year alone. The guy makes like 75 trillion movies a year.
This is a guy who's like, I gotta go to work, honey. You know you don't have to make something. I gotta go to work, honey.
He did some small movies. Like, I think he might have been in something called Shape of Water. Never heard of it.
Superman, that one. Man of Steel, whatever it's called.
Yeah, no, never.
You've been the bad guy. Yeah, never. He was in 99 Homes.
Oh, yeah, he was.
So the director of 99 Homes and Chop Chop and Man Push Cart, all great movies, directed this movie, Fahrenheit 451, which is definitely his biggest budget movie, because all those movies are pretty much indies in many ways, you know. I really love
I don't know. This did take place in Cleveland.
That's right. It is. I mean, Cleveland is a hit with Ready Player One and this thing.
Yeah, that's probably that, because they take everything low budget.
Do they have a tax cut there for like filmmakers?
Yeah, so you have to deal with LeBron.
Is LeBron from there?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Never
shit.
Mind. That's okay.
See, I don't know what that
it
means.
It falls short when I make a joke and you don't get it.
Yeah, a sports joke to right. me.
Come on.
Just give me the 30 for 30 movie that mentions that, and I can know what you're talking about, because I'm not going to watch
We're
sports.
Not getting a 30 for 30 for LeBron for a while.
Good.
Unless he dies.
Soon.
Like,
tomorrow.
Freak accident.
Freak accident, right.
Okay.
He goes to do, like, a layup and come, like, collapses into, like, a dark hole or something.
Wow.
That's a freak accident.
That's a freak something.
We're barely getting Michael Jordan's.
Fahrenheit 451. Raph, why don't you start off out today? What did you think of this movie, and have you read the book?
No.
Uncultured Swine.
Yeah, that's pretty uncultured. You didn't read it for school?
No.
Okay. Your brother didn't give it to you?
Probably, but I ignored him.
It's one of the few books I got from Oscar that I really enjoyed.
Right. Did you burn it afterwards?
No.
Why not?
You don't burn books.
In memory of the book.
So you didn't burn it afterwards?
No.
Okay.
Because I wanted to reread it a couple years later.
Did you?
I did.
So I own the book and I have read it, you ass bags.
Okay, he's you are cultured swine.
I just wanted to see what kind of reactions I would get from you ass bags here.
All I did was ask, like, did you read it for high school? He got it.
No, I never read it. I did not read it for high school.
Like,
I bought it.
Don't put me in his club.
I do own the book though, and I have read it.
But we have meetings on Wednesdays and we have cookies.
That being said, you eat them all before
we
show up.
We have dildo parties.
Anyways,
if you showed up on time.
1 minute late is still almost on time.
Not on time.
Anyways, I thought...
Take me, Lord.
I liked a lot of the aspects of this movie. I like the fact that we're in this... we can do this futuristic going on thing with all the computer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was worried about that.
The Alexa. I mean...
Yuxi.
Yuxi.
Yeah. No, that was a purposeful Freudian slip.
For sure. I love that stuff that came in. It fell short some of the stuff, especially the transition to wanting. I didn't feel his desire to want to understand things, and maybe it should have just been there, and I should have just taken it for the fact that it's just human intuition. We want to learn, and I felt that more from not Michael B. Jordan's character, because I already forget his name, Montag, but from our villain in this movie, if you want to look at him, who. We get like mixed feelings.
Captain Beatty?
Captain Beatty, right.
Beatty?
Not Beatty. But yeah, Captain Beatty, which we get, I get more from him than I do from Montag, which is weird. Because I feel like I should get more from Montag. So I think that falls short for me a little bit. Other than that, I like the movie. I like the stuff that holds on.
I thought you were going to be going down, like finishing it up. So I was going to be like, just piggy right into it.
No, then I was going to go. Other than that, I like the movie.
3 hours later.
I don't love it, but I do like the fact that it's like an updated kind of stuff going on. So, Luke, what do you think?
I do agree with you. Yeah, I do like how they updated the movie. I do feel Michael Shannon's character was kind of unused and to his full potential. I felt like they were going to kind of twist it around and make him be kind of like the Montag.
That's what I felt was going to happen in the movie.
Yeah, and I do feel like they definitely could have explored like more of his side, because I felt like this guy was like on a friggin' like a razor edge. He could fall one way or the other, but he's trying to balance it between full fireman and becoming an eel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oscar.
Well, Martina, I was making sure you were filming, so I didn't want to interrupt you. First impression of this film is that it seems like we all equally agree on the updating of this movie. I love the incorporation of the updates of our technology. I like how there's a sort of stalemate of technology after a certain point. Once they started burning books, they started learning less. So, like, you know, like, pretty much like computers and chips and memory banks, they probably work the same way as they do now, is my point.
Yeah.
Like, I like that. Attention to detail. Things like that. It worked out for me. The Alexa thing.
Right. Also.
Pretty good. By the way.
Yuxi. Stop. People might actually, the three people that listen to us. It might have an Alexa device, and it might be triggering, Rick.
So it's Alexa that...
I'm sorry. And in case if you have it set to another thing, Amazon or...
Order condoms.
Alexa, play Shaka Khan. Anyway, Yuxi. I love all that stuff. So I agree with that completely. I think we're all in agreement there.
Okay.
One other thing is I would say that is... I think that the look and feel of this movie does, like, not the world building necessarily, but a lot of the look and feel of the movie is does better at telling me what is going on in a person than the person himself. Which sucks because I don't know what kind of restraints or constraints they had in this film. I mean, I know the director. I know he can direct people. I know Michael B. Jordan can act the fuck out of it. I don't know what happened, if there was a miscommunication problem, or maybe they meant to look at it that way, or maybe, like you said, Rob, maybe we're supposed to take it that he's already been changing. And then I look back at another movie very similar to this movie, which is Equilibrium. And in that movie, Sean Bean is the guy
who... Gunkata,
right. I mean, we're supposed to get that Christian Bale's character, spoiler alert for that movie, is going to awaken himself, right, on all this. And he looks more robotic than Michael B. Jordan at the movie. But his thing is that his journey is to just do that. This movie, he's doing that, and then he's going to go from there. So it's a little different. And I would say that the differences between them is that Michael B. Jordan maybe pulls it off a little better because Christian Bale looks really robotic in that movie, in Equilibrium. So... And that's the best comparison I could think of. But in the beginning, with Sean Bean, you know, his partner who turns and starts reading things, it reminds me a lot of this movie. And obviously, that movie got it from the book. So it's I couldn't help but comparing those two things. And I wish that Michael B. Jordan's character was put more effort beyond... I don't know how. I just wish it did something to make us seem... There was this one shot, this one scene about... in the second act when he starts like going off the rails, when he's staring into seemingly nothing and then staring into an artifact he's not supposed to have, that almost tells me everything that I need to know, that he's turning and he's leaning towards the eel way, but it's not enough. And I can't just blame it on one scene and is enough for me to say that this guy convincingly made me believe that he was changing for the better or for the eel way.
I do like the end. For sure, and I think that plays really well for Michael B. Jordan's character, Montag.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, yeah, I don't see the transition very well. But I think I know the scene you're talking about too. But
yes, it's they use it in the trailer too, I think, for the movie. And I
haven't seen one, so.
Michael Shannon. Well, every time I watch Rust World, they have that freaking trailer. So for Michael Shannon's character, who is Beatty. He is interesting. He's more interesting to me because you don't know where he's going to go. I like that because Luke is right. It's one way or the other. And I don't know where the movie is going to take it from there because it is an adaptation, but maybe it's like a looser. It right. is a looser adaptation.
It has to be.
The character, the main character, I think he has a family in the original.
Michael. He does. He has a wife.
Yeah. And the girl that...
Clarice.
Clarice. It's supposed to be a small, like a younger version of her and things like that. So all very different. So I didn't know where he was going to go. And I liked how... Michael Shannon, maybe they were playing against his type. Like, he looked like such a villain in all the movies he's in that maybe it's like playing against the type. Maybe he'll turn back around it.
Zod was the good guy.
Who?
Zod.
Zod. I was like, who's Zod? I'm like, did I miss a character in this movie? But I like the push and pull of his character overall. I thought he was more fun for sure. Michael Shannon is always fun though in movies, and I wish they did a little something different about him. But other than that, they kept me going about the mystery of what the hell he was going to do. Honestly, so that was good if that was the intent. And I guess going from this point, we could talk about anything else up to the point where you know shit starts hitting the fan, and we can go into spoilers. Do you guys want to mention anything else? But those are my general impressions of the film.
I do like how they have, now the internet in their version is called the Nine. And they have this huge, thing like if you see something, say something. And they're doing this whole spiel at a school. And it's like, oh, you know, they got like these like replica books. And everyone's like, oh my God. Like, don't worry, they're fake. They're just for training purposes. Mm-hmm. And like they start burning them. The kids get all excited.
Did you guys like the world building of this movie? Because it doesn't totally tell you how they got here, humanity.
Well, there was that dialogue how. He said, like, you know, people fought for books, blew each other up for books, you know, as, you know, different religion stuff. That's why there's only, like, three approved things of literature in this universe, which is the Bible, To the Lighthouse,
and
Moby Dick. But these books, you know, gave people, like, I guess, like, fascinations of being someone else or something like that. I don't know, all kinds of stuff. But, I mean, the whole religious aspect kind of stuck out with me.
Yeah.
So...
How do you feel, Ralph, about the world building and the history of this movie told basically in one scene?
Well, I like I get it, because in the end, we are, this is a, what's it called? We're only like two or three people behind, right? Or ahead. So like, there's only, we're only ahead of like, you know, your father and your grandfather. Maybe you know your great grandfather at best. And if that's all we have, that's all we'll ever know. Right? So it makes sense if there's no books, all the world and how the world's working, the world building works. It makes sense for me to, for how, why the world is what it is right now. So it kind of, it works out for me. They kind of go into the explanations and how certain things exist. Like we have the internet technically, right? Or yeah, the nine, and that's basically modified by whoever wants regulated to modify it. Yeah. Or tech, or just, you know, it's information sent. And we just have to take its word for it, right?
Right.
China.
Now, Benjamin Franklin, though, he printed the first book.
Right, exactly. And I like how
totally
it,
him.
And I like how it's just like a fire. Like
well,
a
my thing is, what happens if the fire gets out of control? Do they call the watermen?
Yeah. Water girls?
Right.
Do the complete opposite.
Right, ooh, exactly.
Wow. Bikinis.
Especially
it's fire.
But I do like how they kind of establish like the whole like social media aspect of it, how everything's being televised and people's comments pop up, you know, smiley faces, thumbs up. Everything, because I mean that's something they didn't know about in like the 50s.
No,
the book
no,
was
no.
made, so I love.
Like, I didn't
anticipate. No, it's a good cool thing. It's almost like everyone's watching Twitch, or it pops up on your TV right away, or your screen.
Yeah,
what was a movie from last year that did a really good job of showing comments?
Twitch.com/BlindNoir follow. Subscribe.
No, is that movie with Emma Watson? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
She would like live stream her circle all the time. The circle, right? She did have like
the comments.
Remember those comments?
The movie that you guys loved, right?
Yeah, that we liked more.
And apparently no one else did.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
Ralph included.
So wait, Ralph, you're part of the following mass. Are you going to burn books now?
I can.
Piece of shit. Anyway, kind of reminds me of that, is my point. That was a really, really cool little way. Not many words, though. It was all emojis. Maybe that's all they're allowed to communicate with. Yeah, I like that stuff, and I wish as to the how the world happened to be this way, I never was questioning like what specifically happened. I never was doing any of that. I liked how the movie did it very subtly, like okay, things got fucked up enough. And also, did you guys realize that it's only to this country?
Yeah, because Canada's a safe haven, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was wondering about
the rest
that
of the world.
Too.
I think is still culture,
which is
heavy.
Interesting because how do you access? How do you limit the internet? That's a good question. All right, that's a good thing.
That's probably why they call it the nine. It's probably not the internet. It's probably some sort of like closed off.
Right. Well, that's what's funny because it's they say the nine, right? Or they say whatever the internet. Yeah. And it actually made me think because if Canada was open, right, and we're not, it made me think of oh my God, what's the thing that we're fighting right now for the internet?
On net neutrality.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, well, that's easy if you have all the companies on board, right?
Yes. Right, yeah. That's so. How it would work. Anything else before we get into spoilers for this film that's based on a very old book?
No. I'm glad that we all like the updates, though. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They totally definitely made it more modern.
Also, what do those guns hold for our ammo?
Kerosene.
A lot, I guess. Because
it's a futuristic kerosene.
It's a futuristic kerosene. Thank God.
One drop. Goodbye, like some tower or whatever. So you need one drop.
Those flamethrowers are badass.
Yeah, they're cool flamethrowers for sure. All right, let's get into it. Right,
but why do they have sights on them?
The fucker.
It's like, the fucker. Just throw it out there.
All right, then. Oh, wait, for real.
For real. Spoilers?
Yes, now.
We burned almost every physical book in the country. By the time you guys grow up, there won't be one book left. Burn it.
What's wrong, Montag? Your vitals have been off recently.
Did firemen used to put out fires?
That's a classic lie. Have you used your drops today?
I want to know why we burn. We are not born equal. We must be made equal by the fire. And then, we can be happy. I got things inside my head that don't make sense. Dreams that I can't explain.
Reed, before the men come back, do you want to know what's inside these books? Insanity.
They're lying to you.
What aren't you telling me?
You never do anything. You're just like Beatty.
I'm not like Beatty.
We have an important task for you.
If anybody sees me, I'm dead.
The danger is real and immediate. We need to get ahead of it.
What if I tell these people what you do?
Words are a terror, son, I know.
Knowledge is a dangerous thing.
Man, they burned a lot of books, huh?
Yeah, I heard that. It's like his first day.
Primero.
Quack, quack, quack.
I don't know the Chinese one. All right, so one thing I want to ask is that, did you believe Omnia or Omnis?
Omnis
is was real the moment she said it. Like, the moment she said Omnis, I thought it was like, you know, like a code. Like, maybe like break, you know, everyone break ranks, do something, attack the establishment, do something like that, right?
Yeah.
I thought that's what she was telling the gorilla people, gorilla eels, the eels.
Well, right.
And then you see that scene where Michael Shannon is telling everyone about this Omnis device that's going to go in the bloodstream to save trillions amounts of fucking history and art and shit. Well,
there's something before that, but yeah.
Yeah, there is something before that. But I'm saying, when that happened, for the longest time in the movie, up until Montag actually meets the bigger resistance faction, I didn't believe them.
Oh, that the Omnis
was real.
Yeah.
I thought it was just...
I thought he made it up, too.
I thought he made it up based on this girl saying Omnis, and they're trying to make it sound worse by having these firemen attack harder just to get rid of more eels. I thought it was a tactic.
After I double-checked that it was actually Omnis, I Googled it, and the only thing that came up for me, aside from, like, theories about, you know, Omnis and whatnot for the movie, was it's Latin for everything. And I was like, okay, like... This would be like everything in the book. I'm like, okay, so that's the only thing I could pick up.
Like an everything bagel.
Ooh. No, too much.
too much everything.
Really. Too much. All right, then. So anyway, I like that the movie, I don't know if it was on purpose or not, but it felt, that, I mean, that's how I felt through the movie. Like, I didn't believe him. Come on. Michael Shannon, you're lying. You just want to kill more eels. That's all you want to do. You're trying to psych up the troops to get more, you know, because they found the biggest stash of books in recent memory.
Apparently
all the books.
And that woman burned herself for them? That was crazy.
Yeah, it's funny how they use books as a mental pictographic image for us audiences, not watching HBO, as bombers put, you know, those dynamites on their skin, but or on their bodies. Yeah, but she used books.
I saw it more like... That's cool. It was both messages. So it was both.
It was
two things for me. So I saw it two ways. I saw that as dynamites things, right? But I also saw it as someone hiding like a money belt or like contraband being hidden at a prison, kind of like that. Like I'm gonna strap things to my body.
It does work both ways. I thought both.
Prison
wall. What's that Turkish? what's that movie? About the guy who gets stuck in a Turkish prison for years.
Midnight Express.
Thank you, Midnight Express. Kind of reminds you of that, how he straps the hashish on his body.
Yeah,
it reminds me just like that. And it did both simultaneously, and I like that a lot because that's a really good visual representation of a lot of things that connects this future fake world and our world. It's good. I liked it.
What did you think of Michael Shannon's...
Non-twist?
No, lack of twist. No, Michael Shannon's fact that he had to write stuff down.
I don't know. Like, those quotes have to be from books.
Some of them, I think, are for books.
Well,
I'm not so good.
So what did you guys... Okay, let's go with that one.
Yeah.
Let's go. What did you guys think? Are they from books that he's read? Because he seems he's read things before, right? Or are we going from that? Or are there that just so human nature that he... Like somebody who's gone through the struggles and stuff like that, you know, war and all these other things that he's gone through, right? That he's writing famous lines down from quotes or something like that, from books or recalling from history, is just writing them down because that's how they felt in those books or whatever, and that's what he's writing down in his from his.
There's a lot of avenues to discover here. A lot of reasons it could be. I mean, I had one in my head as you were talking. I totally forgot what I was going to say, but I will say this: that my personal thinking is that now knowing the end of the movie, how it wasn't. like he was never going to change. I think what his thing was is that he has been there long enough to have experienced what Montag is experiencing. So instead of fighting back from it, he embraces it illegally, completely illegally. And but he likes to be able to do that, indulge himself in these things, but also realize, fully aware, that he has decided to also burn the books and kill this means of the fit. Like, he believes when he says that books drive people crazy and then wars start.
Right.
That's my saying.
So that's a good one. Because I kind of came to that also with the end of the movie. Because during the movie, kind of conflicted, right? Because we don't know where he's going to fall.
Yeah.
Right.
Up until he burns them.
Basically, yeah. Right. After seeing it, you're like, okay, you kind of, like, if you tell throughout the whole movie, he is kind of just saying, like, yeah, he wants to. But yeah, it's like wanting to know your enemy to the fullest. So what does the enemy do? They read books. So I have to read books too to understand them, to better get to know how they understand so I can get to them. It's kind of like that. You know,
is that what you think? Okay.
That's how I see it now.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see it that way, but that's a really good point. Anything, how about you, Luke? How do you see this guy?
BD is weird.
He's a weird cat.
I mean, I've said it before, right when we started off the show, like, he's on a razor's edge, and I do believe that either or, he's going to fall. You know, ultimately, he's taking the safe bet. And when there's that scene...
Oh, is that what you think? Okay.
There's that scene where... him and Montag are, you know, when he comes back to the fire station and they kind of like put their heads together, and he's just like, and he quotes something like, I would rather go with my brother into the darkness than alone into the light.
Alone into the light, yeah.
So that means he knows himself that this is something that's not right, but he'll still go through just because he's got other people to go with him. And maybe like a safety in numbers, safety in the society that they're in, just conforming to it rather than just going against the grain.
So you think that moments like those is what ultimately decided him, like, on a one way or the other kind of path? You think he was that much on a broken path? Like, he was that much unclear what he would do?
I think so.
That's interesting. See, I thought he always knew, but for the same reasons you're saying, except that you're saying he was more like on the breaking edge on both ends. Okay.
I mean, he could be. I think that was just a decision. Like, I will be with my brothers instead of by myself.
That's really good. That's a good line to point out to, especially because, you know, Roth's point of view and yours and mine are all different.
Yeah.
And we literally chose all three different main paths of what he would do, something like this. Right. And I'm sure there are others, too. And I like that. That's probably the most interesting part is fucking Beatty's fucking life in this movie. And
yeah, I think Michael Shannon's character, or at least Michael Shannon, himself, the actor, had a better role here, acting-wise. Even though... Michael B. Jordan's character was supposed to deliver it better.
I think they asked
for two different things for them.
I think I figured it out. I think I know why Montag didn't work well so much for
what
us.
What do you think?
And not just because BD is not just because I'm saying Michael Shannon's a better actor or anything like that. I'm not saying that either. I think they're both really good. I think the reason is because they wrote Montag as a follower, and BD's always been the leader.
Yeah, I guess
he takes over every scene they're in together. Oh, he's not with them. You know, he's always. I mean, not just because he's the captain or the chief or whatever they call him.
Yeah.
He demands that. Montag, when he's by himself, he doesn't seem in charge of himself.
Yeah,
when he's with others,
that should be selling us the fact that he's human, wants to learn, wants to, you know, change his.
But it doesn't. I think it ultimately devalues that instead. I think it makes it worse.
I'm saying it should work, but I'm saying it fails. So I'm not saying the actors fail themselves. I just think the character they were being forced to portray and the way they asked for it, that's what ended up failing for them. Because, like I said, like you said it in the beginning, Michael B. Jordan can act.
Yeah.
We've seen him act. I mean, I know the guy can act. I know Michael Shannon can act, too. I've seen him act in other movies as well.
About 30,000 last year.
I thought they were both suppressed, kind of.
I thought Michael Shannon was less suppressed than Michael B. Jordan. That's what I'm trying to say, is that in what they were asking for them. And I think it should have been more for Michael B. Jordan's role. I get it at the very end, and I get it in the beginning. The beginning just tells me that he's this guy who wants to, he's in it. He's in it for, you know, he wants to be the best. He wants to be the guy who takes over. He wants to be.
Yeah.
That sells me at the beginning. Everything in the middle doesn't, though. Like, there's that one scene that you mentioned that's kind of there, but it just falls short. We don't have enough of that.
Yeah, and also, like, another thing that says that how much of how much of Montag is because I think Montag is extra more important, almost mainly because Beatty finds him important, because Beatty, you know, basically yells at him at some point, like, I signed you to be the captain to take my place.
There's a failed thing here. So we get a flashback scenario, right? Yeah. Scene, yep. Where we get it from Montag's point of view, because he's the one getting the flashback, but we never explore on it.
Where
he sees, yeah, the father. He sees the father, and he sees that Beatty is the one who kills him, or is one of the guys who's there to beat him up or kill him or whatever.
Yeah.
We never get anything from that. We just get that scene, and we're like, okay, that's cool backstory, right? And we get it, but like
that. I thought they were going to say that the eye drops, like not taking the eye drops, made him remember things more. I thought that's what they were going to do, but they don't do enough.
They allude to that, right?
Yeah. By the way, in the trailers, they show way more of the eye drops in the movie.
They show this like twice, I think, or something.
Barely.
Yeah, no, once is when he takes them, and that one in the beginning.
And then, the opening,
and then later when he decides to not take them.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying the two times.
In the book, I know Beatty was actually a big book reader, and like before the whole thing started. Yeah. So I don't know if they kind of tried to allude to that with
Well, Michael they're alluding Shannon, to something. But... They're alluding to the fact that his father and him were probably friends or something at one point, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were obviously coworkers, right? They ended up killing him because they felt difference of opinions, right? And it looked like Beatty was taking him under his wing, almost like, I want to make you who I am and not go down your father's path.
I thought he was seeing himself in
right. They make it seem like that way, but they don't extrapolate.
No,
they
don't go further into it. That's the problem.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
But we get a flashback scene for it's almost for no reason.
Yeah, I wonder if something was cut in the some extended scene. Because I think two more key scenes would make that shine way better.
Yeah.
What about the ending? Anything about the resistance stuff, the eel stuff? Did you buy that stuff?
I bought that he killed him because he had to. Mm-hmm. And I bought that he killed him because it does almost looks like we can go either way on this, right?
Hmm.
He shot the gun, but did he shoot him?
Yeah, if we don't see a character die,
right?
You never
exactly.
Know.
Right. Sorry, it's the One Piece thing for
fucking,
me.
It's like Sopranos too.
Yeah, Sopranos.
Yeah, well. I think.
Yeah, but One Piece for me. There's that route, right? And there's the other route that he let him put the transponder on the bird and the bird fly away, because he could have killed him way before that.
Yeah, and it seemed like it was
like he wanted
motion-y.
Him to let it go.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like both ways. Like you want him to let it go because at the end is like. Yeah, we are doing this so everybody can be equal, but at the same time, we're never going to, like, you come to a realization of, like, oh, shit, but we're never going to also progress or do anything better with our lives.
Or maybe Beatty is, like, he has risen to a position and a standing in this community, in this culture of prominence, you know, being the captain, that he's always in his heart has had an eel heart, but he can only let anything go if he actually can get away with it. If there's even a slight chance he can't, he'll go double hard on it and kill him. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks of him.
Mm.
Maybe that's like how he lets things go. Like, well, yeah, you let the bird out, hurry up. Okay, now burn your death.
Also, did it feel a little bit too convenient that the girl here, who's the girl that they use for the contraband stuff, has all the contraband in her house and no one ever decides to check up on her? Didn't it feel a little bit too convenient?
I think...
And I know you brought this up earlier, Luke, because I brought it up earlier also.
But I think because, you know, she was also erased and now she's an eel. I think they kind of like live on the outskirts, so they're kind of like under the radar.
Right. But...
Oh, you're saying they don't know where she lives.
Pretty much.
No, I think he would. But I think B leaves her B because she's a source. I thought that was
no,
the answer.
No, I get that. Okay. But it feels like if they're in the... Now the answer that Luke gives me makes me feel the other way, though. Like, well, if they're living on the outskirts, isn't that just an easy... trap to go for them all the time, like they're always gonna have contraband, they're always gonna whatever. Like I don't know, I just felt weird.
Yeah, maybe I guess I didn't think put too much thought into that one.
I just felt like very convenient she has all this stuff.
Yeah, I guess
when she's it's like, supposed to be like, when it's supposed to be extremely rare to have.
She's like Red from Shawshank Redemption. She's the guy who knows how to get
sure
things,
I get that,
right?
Yeah.
But I don't know to what extent or how she can do that, right? I mean, that's just another, I guess.
Yeah.
Anything else in Fahrenheit 451? Luke, do you think he killed him at the end there?
I don't know. If it was killed him or...
I say yes.
He might have, yeah.
I mean, I'm going with a yes, too. I think I'm going with the sacrifice angle on that one. They mentioned that too, right? Sacrifice stuff?
Did they?
I don't know, did they? Am I confusing movies?
Well, I don't know.
I might be confusing Ben-Hur with them. They talk about sacrifice in one of these movies. Anyway, so that is Fahrenheit 451. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll review our fifth marathon pick, right? I think we're past halfway.
Don't remember.
I think we're past halfway, guys. So it's our next one, and it's going to be Ben-Hur. So find out what that's about. Stay with us.
You speak as if he were God.
He is God, the only God. He is power, real power on Earth. Not that. Tell me, Judah. I would do anything for you, Messiah. Except betray my own people. In the name of all the gods, Judah, what do the lives of a few Jews mean to you? If I cannot persuade them, that does not mean I would help you murder them. Besides, you must understand this, Marcella. I believe in the past of my people and in their future.
Future? You are a conquered people.
You may conquer the land. You may slaughter the people. But that is not the end. We will rise again.
You live on dead dreams. You live on the myths of the past. The glory of Solomon is gone. Do you think it will return? Joshua will not rise again to save you, nor David. There is only one reality in the world today. Look to the west, Judah. Don't be a fool. Look to Rome.
I would rather be a fool than a traitor or a killer.
I am a soldier.
Yes, who kills for Rome, and Rome is evil.
I warn you.
No! I warn you. Rome is an affront to God. Rome is strangling my people and my country, the whole earth. But not forever. If I tell you the day Rome falls, there will be a shout of freedom such as the world has never heard before.
Either you help me or you oppose me. You have no other choice. You're either for me or against me.
If that is the choice, then I am against you.
When a Jewish prince is betrayed and sent into slavery by a Roman friend, he regains his freedom and comes back for revenge.
That's it?
That is it.
For a four-hour movie?
Yeah, that's all she wrote.
I mean, that is literally the basic plot of this movie.
1959's Ben-Hur.
Yeah.
Not Spartacus.
No. Not Spartacus. From 1959, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the oldest movies. I didn't even know they had movies back then. I mean, you must have been just a toddler. No, you probably saw this in your adolescence.
No, I remember my parents taking me because they were like, we want to see air conditioning. It was brand new back then. So, Ben-Hur, why did you pick this movie, Luke, even though you thought it was something else?
Yeah, I wanted to see it.
What did you think it was originally? I think you told me you wanted to choose Spartacus, but you said Ben-Hur instead, and
yeah,
you got confused.
I wanna, same difference.
No, I mean, both have similar-ish right. things. Right. Like, they're both about, you know, peasants or being peasantry coming up from the yeah. fighting or being a slave or back in the old days and all that stuff. And some of that stuff is in there for sure. It's not like a one-to-one comparison, but it's there's some comparisons. But still, though, it's a big difference, though.
Oh, I believe you.
All right, so why did you choose this movie, though, Ben-Hur? Where's the love?
It met the criteria.
Okay, what's the criteria?
Movies that have been remade?
Nope, that is not the criteria. I mean, the criteria that it's like movies that that have been remade from this one, the one we're reviewing. It's not like you took it
the other way.
Yeah.
No, this one was also remade.
It was remade twice. It was remade like a few years ago, so you got lucky there.
I didn't want to watch a movie in black and white, so it was...
Well, you could just say it has, you know...
Heston?
Well... No, wait. First of all, a few things, guys. The original 1901 or 1911, whatever that movie was, Ben-Hur, is not like a masterpiece that everyone talks about, okay? This just
this is the one
remake is the one that everyone talks about, okay? It's like everyone chooses the 80s thing as the masterpiece, not the old thing, which is from the 50s or whatever, you know? That's why they choose that. So you're not wrong there, Luke, but I'm saying you... But it's not we're making remakes. We're not choosing remakes. We're choosing originals. I'm saying.
I don't care.
I'm just saying.
I still chose it.
That's not. But it doesn't meet the criteria, so don't lie to me.
That is the criteria. Movies that were, that, you know, caused something to get remade, yeah.
You're very special today.
Yeah.
It's okay. Obviously, if I thought it was like a big blatant disregard of everything we're talking about, I would have said no to begin with, but I didn't. So
I mean, you chose what, red shoes?
Yeah.
Yeah. That didn't do Black Swan. Black Swan was written.
What?
Yeah.
Black Swan.
Yeah, didn't you say it was Black Swan or whatever?
I said there's a TV movie out there with the same name too.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean anything.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. It's fine.
Agree to disagree.
And this movie, right. What did it inspire, though?
Ben-Hur.
No.
Like, what did Ben-Hur inspire?
Ben-Hur. The 20-something, the 2000-something one.
No, but besides that, I'm saying, like, not directly.
Ben-Hur.
What did it inspire?
Gladiator.
Yeah, I'd probably say Gladiator is a good one.
But Ben-Hur, because it's the same name.
No. I'm not talking about directly mates, motherfucker. You know what I'm talking about. You're being a little bitch.
No, I have no idea.
Passion of the Christ.
We've only gone through this the last four other movies.
Passion of the Christ.
Why don't you tell me what you want me to say?
Passion of the Christ? Yeah, that's my big one.
Not really.
Why not?
Yeah, of course. I mean, Ten Commandments.
Not as much, but yeah.
Never seen it.
It comes on TV all the time. As a kid, anyway, I used to see it more often. Oh, that's a long movie, too.
Yeah.
That's a really long movie.
What other movie that comes from starting at the top, going down to the bottom, coming back up?
Rocky?
Shogun Assassin?
I mean, The Gladiator, I think, is the biggest one that it's inspired for.
It also won a shit ton of awards. Or at least got nominated for it.
Right, yeah. This one won, I think, 11 or something.
The third remake of Ben-Hur?
Yeah. So, I'll go first on this movie, because you went last time and Luke went to the first one.
Yeah.
So, as far as impressions go of this film, I have seen it before, though I don't think I've ever seen it in
one sitting.
Not even this time. I saw it in one sitting, but like so close together. I mean, it took me two sittings, guys. This movie's long. I've seen it before, but I forgot a lot of the details. I'm not saying I only remember the chariot race scene. I remembered a few other things. I remember like him in the bow, the whole ship thing, you know, rowing and things. I remember that. Anyway, but this movie, this from riches to rags and then rags to riches, and this whole idea of kind of a cultural reappropriations thing where, like, well, the Romans own the world now, but before that, these people owned the world or owned the land. And what is the significance of that if you can go even farther back? And then they do introduce religion into this really heavily. Which is something that Romans don't believe in, or at least the characters in this movie don't believe in. Very interesting stuff. They set up a lot of things. This movie has like five movies in it.
Yeah, but the Romans really didn't believe in that. They just let everybody have their own religions.
I mean, they had a bit of their own, but they mainly believe in, you know, the republic.
They believe in gods and governments.
They believe in the republic, yeah. Right, and the government.
Yeah. They saw people as gods, right. Not as...
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Oh, they treated them as gods. There's a bunch of things like that. Anyway, and I think as far as this movie goes, like I think it could have used some editing. And I know that's a joke also, but I for real think that you could cut a lot of this movie.
It needs all the editing.
I think there's an hour in here you can find to cut away and cut out.
Definitely.
Hell, I could think you could start off in a different place. I didn't think you needed the birth of Christ
in the beginning?
The birth of Christ you did not need. That's so bad. That's so bad. It's like, what is that movie? Great. What is that movie where we saw that we hated the ending of, where at the end, I think it was Ip Man maybe, where at the end you see, it wasn't Ip Man. It was the Grandmaster, was it, Ralph?
Yes.
Remember in the American cut of that movie, it ends with Bruce Lee coming into the dojo, and it's like this really horrible Hollywood trope scene of him coming up and being taught by
Ip Man. I only saw the Chinese version.
Yeah, we've only seen the Chinese, but we heard about it.
We heard about it. Yeah, yes.
And I think we saw the YouTube clip on it.
Oh yeah,
it's like that. It's like this, but the reverse. This is the beginning and opening. Like it's just like trying to ham it up already in the opening and just hamming it up with this Jesus thing.
Right.
And I think that it devalues a lot of it, because if it would have been better if it was just like. Later on, we know when he... I mean, how much of this movie should we spoil before spoiled?
I mean, what are you spoiling in this movie?
I mean, it's not spoiling for real life, is it, either? I mean...
This movie is spoilers. Like, guys, it's 59.
Yeah.
What are you getting spoiled from this movie? I know most people haven't probably watched it. It's my first viewing.
Let's go with that.
Yeah. Well, no, let's definitely have a spoiler. So let's say spoiler.
Well, if you guys want, we can go first impressions real quick.
Because yeah,
we're
yeah.
still technically on your first impressions.
Yes.
And then we might as well just get into spoilers because it's hard to talk about meanings or things about the movie without spoiling stuff.
Okay, fine. Then besides the whole thing with the religion angle that I did not approve of, the way they just stamped it on there, I thought I had some interesting stuff to say. I think it definitely breathed a lot because it's a long movie. It has time to do it. I definitely think that it does build their characters very well. Again, because of the runtime of the movie, I'm trying to think if there is definitely a way to do it with some more editing. Right.
Speaking of editing, time to edit you out. Ralph, what did you think?
No, I'm not done yet. I find it interesting that Luke doesn't seem to understand.
First impressions. What I'm trying I just to need do. An impression. Ralph?
Impression could be whatever I want it to be.
Yeah.
And so I think I liked the movie. I would have liked a lot more, you know. Okay, now I'm just fucking it up there. I'm just doing it on purpose. Okay.
Are you Luke, done? We haven't noticed.
Luke, you want me to go next or you want to go next?
Go ahead.
You're a piece of shit.
Okay, so phenomenal. All 3 hours and 52 minutes needed to be there, guys. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Unbelievable. Besides the 6 minutes I had to fast forward in the beginning because I was like...
Likewise?
I was like, what's going on? Like, this is still the same song. Like, we're still the same screen. Like, are we waiting to sit down, guys? Like, all right, I'm ready.
Ah, that's what it is.
Yeah. No, yeah, of course it was long. Like, we're going to get there, but it was long. There's some stuff that needs to get edited. But it had everything. I mean, guys, that's the birth of Jesus Christ in this movie. I mean, I'm not really spoiling anything crazy because it's the beginning of the movie. But it plays along with the timeline of Jesus Christ. So you have that, and he's like this weird thing in the background. That doesn't feel like it should be the weird thing, right? And because we're following Judah Ben-Hur, which is a crazy name to begin with already. And I don't know. It had a lot of stuff. There's a lot of character building, like you said, because they have the time to character build. You can build Judah Ben-Hur, break them down, and build them back up again in this length. Because that's what they did for us. They basically built them up, broke them down, built them back up, and then gave us a little bit of a twist. Not really, but sort of. There's a lot of stuff that happens in the movie. Overall, I like a lot of the stuff that happens. Really cool stuff, especially for its times. There's a lot of plot-wise, kind of basic, but it's 1959. I'm kind of letting that go. And it's a remake from it to 1920s or something like that, right?
1910,
so I think. Even then. But I don't know. Like, besides the length of the movie, I actually liked the movie. I didn't hate the movie. I saw it in two parts. I saw like the first hour and a half, and then I stopped.
Oh, yeah, and from opening to intermission, and then from intermission.
No, I saw it a little bit before intermission, and then I saw it from a little bit before the intermission to after.
Yeah, the intermission is not the actual halfway point, it's a little after the halfway point.
It's a little bit after the halfway point, yeah. But yeah, I mean, just so I didn't feel like 4 hours of my life went to waste, I had to do chores around the house.
All the laundry.
I had to do chores around the house. Like, I fixed my son's room while watching this movie. Because there's so much pauses in this movie that I could. Like, there's a lot of breathing room, like you said. So, like I said, I think besides the common thing that we're going to have is the what's it called? The length of the movie. I definitely see a lot of scenes or a lot of things in this movie that happen that happen in current movies now. With, you know, our character being broken down, rags to riches kind of story, or riches to rags.
Or even revenge flicks.
Revenge flicks as well.
Charlie Bronson movies probably started here.
Oh, man.
Because Charlie Bronson.
Probably.
All his movies also, are his wife and his mother or his daughter, all of them the above.
Also, Charlton Heston. Sexy beast. That's all I gotta say. Him.
Charlton Heston was also like a big blockbuster. He was Rock of the
yeah,
age.
He was. Yeah.
Or the Tom Cruise of his age, right. Whatever you want to call it. Yeah, all he did was Bug Wars. Planet of the Apes, Mega Man. He did a lot of things. Earthquake. Yeah.
Mega Man.
Omega Man.
Oh. Omega, yeah.
It's the original, what's it called? I Am Legend. The original book. That's the original of that. So, Luke?
Okay, so obviously, my first impression, I did enjoy the movie. Yes, a little long-winded. I do believe that they needed to hire editors after this movie. Basic plot, honestly, I think when I looked at the synopsis on Wikipedia and I was like, really? This is it? Then I thought about it. I'm like, okay, yeah, this movie is fairly straightforward. It just takes a lot of time to get from point A to point B to point C.
But is the journey worthwhile? I mean, if it's so simple and it's A to B.
Kind of felt a little hokey, especially the whole religion drop and stuff.
I think that's a separate entity, though. That's a separate thing from
I'm trying to think, is it because of godless communism they had to drop that in at that time?
I think so. I think they
This is Cold War, isn't it?
But they were also worried. I think the studio makers or whatever, studio people of this movie, were worried about showing too much. Like, they didn't think they were worthy enough to show Jesus.
Yeah.
But they were worthy enough to mention a lot of the history of Jesus, right, in it. It's really weird. It's a weird time for movie making, honestly.
Yeah. Overall, I mean, this movie definitely had technical limitations.
Well, I would say also the limitations made the movie a little better because every person on screen is a person.
Right.
Like, all the extras are really there.
No.
No?
Not on that battle scene. On the ship scene.
On the ship scene. No.
Those are toys.
Oh, those are toys. No, I'm saying, but I'm saying...
This movie in 4K is not...
Oh, you saw it in 4K?
No. But I saw it on 1080p, but when it's all blown up in front of you, you can see, like, okay, that's a toy ship.
I noticed that, water. Too. Well, that's what they had to do. They kind of destroy real ships.
But I do like how sometimes you have,
the sets were real. I mean, when they were making...
Some sets were painted and drawn.
Oh, for sure.
That's and that was kind of cool how they incorporated the painted and the drawn into, like, a real set.
Yeah.
So it's awesome that, you know, for those technical limitations...
The costume department must have been huge.
It was actually one of the biggest, I think, movies of the time. With the most amount of sets and costumes, everything.
Do you make this movie now? It's an extra 20 minutes long for just credits.
Oh.
There's credits in this movie.
We're going to have better editors this time.
There's no credits in
this movie. Oh, yeah. Back then, they didn't give a shit who got credit for anything.
No, at the beginning, you got like the actors, the directors.
Yeah, the main.
And that's it.
That's it.
Everybody else was just like,
fuck you.
Big middle finger.
You get your money. Who gives a fuck?
Right,
yeah, exactly. No, it's exactly how it was.
Yeah.
Because
the movie ended. It's like, it's done.
Because back then, when the movie ends, a movie ends. Yeah. There is nothing after that.
Yeah, nothing.
You know, the opening credits, that's all you need to know about the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's how it is.
That's even if you paid attention.
That's how it was in the old days. I mean, they still do it now, too, but they also have the long credit.
Right, it's funny, though.
Yeah, also, another thing I know about back then, guys, is that the reason movies were this long, I mean, it's really preferable because it's an illiterate escape. This is the only thing you can do. They treated films, because it's kind of not a new thing in the 50s, but it's a newish cultural thing at the time, that they treated like plays, like stage plays. Yeah. They have intermission. They've been doing that for years, since Shakespeare days, of course. So they try to incorporate a lot of their daily entertainment stuff, their storytelling, and the filmmaking. So they would do the same thing. That's why they're so long. Right. That's why they have overtures and fucking intermissions.
Right.
So,
also, yeah. I have a problem with this movie with time skipping.
Yeah,
it doesn't tell you anything.
I blink and like it says like, oh, it's been 3 years. I'm like,
you're like, whoa. Like, I thought it was like maybe a couple months at best, and you're just like, nope, it's been 3 years.
Yeah,
and you're like, whoa, okay.
Yeah,
just kind of, and you're just like, dude, we have like 4 hours in this movie. How are you time skipping so much?
I also think that they set up some stuff that was very strange that it never pays off in any way, but they seem to really want to focus on it. For example,
the brotherhood thing, or the
not the brotherhood, although we could talk about that too for sure. T'Challa and Judah are like old brothers, and they come back into their he comes back into their town to be their, what do they call him?
I mean, he's not the governor. He's not the governor, but he's the second in command.
Right, like in charge. Let's just say in charge. And and then he's like, did Tisra, his Judas daughter, did Tisra get married yet? And he's like, oh, no, not yet. She can't decide on anyone. And like, but she realized she's like, she was five. And then they meet.
Not daughter, sister.
Daughter, sorry.
Sister,
sorry.
You said daughter twice.
Whatever, they sound. I mean, Charlton Heston is really old in this movie. I don't understand where he's from or doing anything. Anyway, sister. And when they meet T'Challa, this is before they actually have the fight to separate them. When they meet and they go, T'Challa visits them at the house. They clearly have a thing going to start, like, oh, maybe they're going to fall in love, or because it's like, oh, Tisra's not like falling in love with anybody, but she's always liked T'Challa, right? And that goes nowhere, but they spent so much attention to it.
Mm.
I'm like, is that like a red herring? I'm like, is that what they're trying to
do? I don't know.
So that was strange. And did you think that the brotherhood thing was just there for a show for us to confuse us, or did they want to create something like, deep and ponderous and unique about them being brothers before they're enemies?
I think it wanted us to make sure that there's still a relationship between them, you know? Yeah, to make sure there's still a relationship between them to establish common ground.
All right. I think that, I think it does cheapen it a little bit. I don't think we needed it.
I don't think we needed it either.
I think if they both, if they played both of these men to be like in the beginning, like just practical maybe ambitious, but also, you know, and maybe wealthy. They're both wealthy too. Well, and they made nice men down in flames. They don't have to be brothers too.
The reason we don't need it is because they discard it so easily.
They discard it so fast, and in the runtime of the movie, it might as well be like a billion years before it happens.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, but then the first 20 minutes, all this happens, and then he gets in prison, and then I like how one thing leads to another, and then the ultimate evidence is the tiles on the roof. Right.
But so, I mean, when he goes to investigate, I think he kind of sees like, oh yeah, this was loose. This is probably an accident. But he's got to remain.
So what did you think about? Did you buy that?
That he's a dick.
No, I mean, did you buy that? Yeah, his reasoning to lean into that.
We go. I mean, he wanted to assert the Roman dominance over the Jews. So if he takes the highest Jew, takes him out and says, hey, you know, kind of we got power. It sucks that it's my friend, but it shows you that, you know, or that no mercy kind of deal.
Come on,
I see it the other way. I see it more like I see an opportunity to ambition, you know, or I see an opportunity, an opening here for me to win the battle that I don't have to struggle probably years to go through Ben-Hur, right, through Judah. Because he would struggle through with Judah,
they,
right?
And they did have a fight.
They had, right, exactly.
They just broke up, so to speak.
Right. Man. Well, Judah. There's no fault to Judah. Judah's like almost like the perfect Jew, right? He doesn't want to fight, right? He doesn't want his people to fight. He doesn't want to fight people either, right? And it's so he doesn't want anybody to conflict, and he wants to solve everything. He's rich. He's powerful already in Jerusalem, so why wouldn't you? Like, he's obviously the key person to have, and he just saw a perfect opportunity to get rid of the key person. So, yeah, he just took advantage of that scenario.
So I didn't think it was that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it was more of that thing than the fact that, like, I have to exert dominance. No, fuck that. That's, like, the bullshit excuse. Just tell me the real excuse and just tell me the real answer. And the real answer is, like, I was in your way. And literally, this makes me get rid of you off the chessboard, and that's it. Like, not that, you know, sure, it does show force of dominance for the Romans, but that's just an extra, you know?
Yeah, I think I'm between both of you. Like, I think he was altruistically thinking that he wants to show this guy a lesson that it doesn't – nothing about being right or wrong. I think he almost buckled even when he found out that, yeah, these tiles are fucking loose. He almost buckled. When he was asked directly to your face, like, come on, you saw, right? You know, you're supposed to know. He almost buckled, but the reason he didn't, I think, is because he doubled down on a mistake he was already doing, but because he already done it. Now he did it, he has to save face by doing it. So I'm a little bit in his, a little bit of yours. So he was opportunistic, but then used the excuse of, like, it's too late, it's been done.
Right then and there, that's a moment of where the friendship thing just gets discarded.
Yeah, which is stupid, which is stupid. Why it's stupid
why,
to even introduce
why bring it up
is
exactly, why introduce it to begin with? Because that introducing it means that he discarded it so easily, and it almost makes it seem like, why trust Romans? And now we're in the camp of the Jews here. Because why trust Romans? I mean, that's now they're making it seem like all the Romans are bad people, until obviously later in the movie.
Yeah, and
we're in spoilers, right? We don't care.
No, we're about to be.
Okay.
One last thing is Esther, before we go into spoilers. Esther is the slave woman. Well, was slave woman. He was going to go. And then he's like, oh, the guy. Basically, Judah falls in love with her. But, it takes him the whole movie to get there, but he does. And Esther is that whole thing about how he doesn't see them. I don't like – I mean, I get it. It's the 50s. And he's a hero, and you're supposed to paint him differently. Kind of feels like that movie from last year, the guy who Charlie Hunnam played, you know, played that guy with the Amazon forest, right? How he was probably in real life, he was way worse of a character.
Right, yeah.
Right? He wasn't that forward-thinking.
Right, yeah.
Judah would have had slaves and called them fucking slaves and slapped them around a bit. That's what I'm saying.
Or put them in their place, at least.
Like, when he says the lines, like, oh, I don't even see you guys as slaves. Like, come on.
Yeah.
2,000 years ago. Well, I mean, come on. 3,000, 4,000, whatever it is. So yeah, it's insane. So I really hated that. But introduction of Esther, anything there? Because she is integral to the third act. So,
I mean, she wants Judah, but I guess she wants the
Judah dick. You see
she
it?
She wants that JD, but she can't because she's committed to another.
Well, the way I saw it was like I wasn't even paying attention to you until I just saw you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I see you,
I want you.
Yeah. I
want
to be in you.
Had I known you were my slave, I totally would have fucked you.
Yeah, like, that's what it looked like. Yeah, it did look a little like that, didn't it? But he never did it. Never leaned into it. And he still had the ring up all that time.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of a spoiler. Okay, so let's get into spoilers for real for Ben-Hur starting right now.
Okay.
What service have you seen? 41.
A month less a day in this ship.
You keep an exact account. And before?
3 years in other ships.
3 years. You have the spirit to fight back, but the good sense to control it. Your eyes are full of hate, 41. That's good. Hate keeps a man alive. It gives him strength. Now listen to me, all of you. You are all condemned men. We keep you alive to serve this ship. So row well and live.
Okay, so Judah. So he becomes a slave. He's on a ship. Ship goes down. Cray cray.
By the way, they spent forever on that ship.
Really? I thought it was that kind of one. By fast.
No. They go through the different speeds of fucking rowing.
Oh, you mean that definitely could have been edited out.
They could have taken it out. No, completely. The good thing is that...
Row harder, boy.
It looks like a directing thing. It looks like a directing flair. Like, they want to show how much work it is to do regular rowing to ramming speed to... What's the other one? The third one?
Ludicrous speed. Battle speed to ramming speed.
Battle speed to ramming speed, sorry. And, like, so that way when they actually have that battle... That you can see how hard they're working to get there. I saw what you were doing, director, but it took 50 years to get there.
It does a couple things for that. It does a couple things because these are all people who are actually rowing, and you see all the people manpower.
The only time you see a slave scene with all white people.
Right, yeah, exactly. No, there was a black person.
I saw one.
Yeah, and then you get that one. B, you get to show the directing thing that you just said, right?
Mm-hmm.
C, you get to see Judah, what's it called, being able to go through that because he's the one being tested. It almost feels like that, right? He just got spoken to, right? And he's like, well, why aren't you doing this? And you're smarter than you obviously look. You know, he gives him this whole big speech about like, oh, you're smart enough to hold your temper, right? But strong enough to
hate me for it.
Yeah. So you still have the fire in you to hate me, and that's what drives you. He's like, okay, well, let's see how much I can drive you.
He's like William the Cut.
Because he wants to find out how strong this guy really is.
Mm-hmm.
What drives him, right? And that's the only you get that other option, right? But I really think it's just there for us to watch.
I think it's just there for entertainment
purposes. It's just there for entertainment purposes. It's nothing else. You can't cut this.
It's fluff, for sure. Because you could have done the same thing. You could have shown how smart and strong he is, like by the captain noticing his behavior on the poop deck or whatever, him doing something.
Right.
And there you go. That's it. I like you, sir. You have gumption.
And then that scene does have a better reward because we have that scene, have a better reward later. Not even actually, barely reward, right? Because he technically doesn't kill the captain, right?
Oh, he's like, now get you rowing.
Right.
The reversal, is that what you mean?
Right, exactly. But we have a better, I guess, almost a better thing because he's like, oh, yeah, I want him. Like, I want him to be the men for my stallions or whatever. Right? That's what he says. He wants him to do his...
Something like that, yeah.
Something crazy. And that's why he uncuffs him later.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of makes sense. It's just weird. It's just rewarded a little bit better. Not by much, but if it's there. At least they use it.
And before he gets on the ship, he meets Jesus. He gives him some water.
Yeah. Right. So this is a weird thing this movie does. This movie kind of just like pussyfoots around the fact that that Jesus is that we're in the time of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Right. And
it's like being around the time of Steve Jobs.
Right. And
are you comparing Jobs to Jesus?
I am right now.
Yeah. So and we're walking around this thing how he's like the Messiah. We never bring him up until the very end. If anything, they all think that Ben-Hur is the Messiah of the Jewish people, and he's the one who can control them all, right? They bring it up like four times towards the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And they're all more worried about him because of what he can do, right? At least Pontius Pilate says, right? Which, by the way, every time I heard Pontius Pilate, I wanted to say Pontius Pilato because that's all I know in Spanish.
Yeah.
So we have this weird thing where he's there, but no one really
as a Jew, he even himself doesn't know, because like he like doesn't almost doesn't care. But like, it's weird. It's I don't know. It's really weird. We walk around this like he's doesn't have to be there. We didn't have to get this beginning thing. It could have been during different times. Like we didn't need. Like you could have made the movie all around different times. I don't know why you made it during this exact time. Is it only literally for the very end? Like
I almost think that they couldn't make this movie without including some religious angle.
Is that the way they got funding?
Is that the way they got funding? But back then, Metro Goldwyn Mayer, MGM, of course, the line was still alive when they were making this movie. Think of it that way, guys. So that line was kicking, doing.
That was hilarious.
They got one good shot, and they were like, that's it. We're done.
Yeah. Kicked the lion out, and then the lion had to pay child support. So,
where's my royalties?
What do you think of that whole thing about Ralph? What he's saying about Jesus?
Godless communism. Legit. I think this is why this movie is in there. But hey, if this took place around the same time, put Jesus in there. He sells.
Oh, so not communism. You're thinking like... what's the other word? The one we're in now?
Capitalism.
Capitalism. Thank you, Rob.
Capitalism, Catholicism, same thing.
No, it's not. Literally opposite things.
They both want your money.
No, one wants your labor.
For money.
Yeah. No. Okay. No, but seriously.
I do agree with him.
Honestly, I think it's a seller.
Like,
plus, it's an easy way to
incorporate
at the end,
him.
Like, how do we end the story?
You think it's a shameless plug? They're shamelessly plugging Jesus into this movie.
It feels like
that's a really bad sentence.
No, they plug the shit out of him later on.
I bet they do. See, this is why it's a bad sentence.
Honestly, plus it's an easy write-off. Like at the end, oh well, how do we cure leprosy? Oh. Jesus does it.
Jesus is the Deus Ex Machina.
Jesus is the God machine.
Oh, damn. What better use of God machine than God?
Yeah, than God's son, actually.
Who's God himself, for sure.
Whatever.
Don't get me
into the Holy Trinity.
Absentee guys. Father, guys, so I'm saying. If he was around, he wouldn't die at 30. Wow. Okay. We'll let go of that for a minute, because I think they're trying so hard to compare Judah with Jesus. And I hope they're not doing it just because Judah and Judas is really close. Because I kept wanting to say the S every time they fucking said
the
name. Like, say the whole name. Is there like a correlation to call a false prophet? Even though Judah is a great man, a good man who came up from the ranks, came up all this shit, but he's still not the Messiah.
There was even a scene where the guy comes up to him. Are you from Bethlehem?
Oh my God, that was so bad.
And I'm like, really?
Oh my God, that was really? So bad. I was cringing.
I thought they were leading to the fact that he was touched by Jesus. We were going to go that route.
Yeah.
Touched by an angel?
I thought it was you because you were touched by him and I felt something from that, right? And I was like, nope. Oh, we're just going to go over the blatant fact that he might actually be the Messiah for like all these Jews or something. Yeah. I'm like, that's what they're playing at. He's like the perfect
Jew.
It's
their Woodstock. Bethlehem is their Woodstock, essentially. Yeah. It's a little out of nowhere place. He's going to huddle up and watch a dude sing. Jesus Christ Superstar. Maybe we want to watch Jesus Christ Superstar.
Never seen it.
Oh, it's so good. You guys got to see it. Hope we do a musicals marathon soon.
I have a feeling we will be doing a musical marathon just for that reason.
You just sold me. I have so many ideas. I just sold you for that. You just didn't know.
You're going to make it really specific.
Now I get to blame you for it, too.
You're going to make it really specific.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
But Jesus Christ, it was got to be in there.
I guess.
It's got to be. And then Rocky Horror Picture. Okay, this is a dumb conversation. Let's talk about the big scene. The big ass scene is... the fucking chariot racing. We haven't talked about it. It's like the one thing that people remember.
Oh, my God. You think they could have edited a little bit that out?
Okay.
It felt like
how
did
many
all
times
laughs.
Do you need to go in this
they
circle?
They did all time laughs. I mean, if you're going to have the budget for one crazy scene where they have to handle all these horses.
It has to go so well.
And all these men. And then, but
you don't get retries.
Superimposing the men, make sure that the doll falls, not the actual guy. That's really good cuts. Those are really... talk about editing. Those are really good cuts. I'm not going to say that right now. For action sequencing.
No, they died. Like,
there's
blood was shed.
The cannibal holocaust.
Cannibal holocaust got nothing on Ben-Hur.
Actually, a bunch of horses did die, by the way. I think in the making.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, there's a lot of horses.
It was hot.
I don't know what that means.
It was hot, I was like.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
What else did you think about?
I don't know. I don't know. Like an in heat reference. Okay. But the scene itself, I'm just talking about, like, pretty good constructed scene. I thought it was good. I think it's a good tension build up. And after 2.5 hours, I think 3 hours by that point, I mean, there was no more stakes build up we could have. There was so much build up.
2 hours and 40 minutes, because after that scene, I was like, so we're almost done. I was like, nope.
Because the whole thing of the story, the whole point of the story is that it all leads to one event, one thing, one 20-minute block of time. And that's what makes the movie, for a lot of people back then, even today, not me though, but still I can respect it. It makes it all worthwhile. It makes all the stakes feel palpable watching this long chariot race. And that's what I'm saying. And that's why I want to make sure it's out there. Now, I really did think, like much like you guys, I'm sure thought that I was going to end there, but it never did. And I kept going and going for another 20, 30 minutes.
Oh, no, we need to... this is a movie for Luke. Closure.
Yeah, Luke, this gave you closure. How much more do you need?
And we solved all loose ends.
All loose ends were solved, Luke. Are you okay?
Except, like, what really happens to Ben-Hur, Judah, after this? Like, does he just go back to his house? Does he regain his wealth and prosperity?
Well, he has his wealth.
Yeah.
He gained it. But does he regain, like, his status once again? Like,
yeah. He got crowned by Pontius Pilate.
I don't know. I could think another 20, 30 minutes would have been just
okay.
The only real question you could ask him is...
how does he die? That's your final closure?
No. Is it does he follow the teachings of Jesus Christ now? Or does he stay a Jew?
Aren't they the same? I know they're not the same now, but back then they were.
Sort of.
Kind of.
But you would follow his teachings because now we're starting new things.
Yeah, he branches out. He starts a new school of it. But I'm saying, but it's still like the same. I think he follows a new school. I think we don't know anything about this. How about that? We're not fucking, what do you call it, scholars?
Yeah.
Rhodes scholars. All right, so... what do you think of the whole we all knew he was going to find out about the leprosy, right? That wasn't a concern, right?
I mean, you could have edited like 30 minutes of that stuff.
Yes. Like the whole need to hide it and we're ashamed of it. I don't want my son to see me, tell him we're dead, and then that becomes a plot.
And about then walking him thinking, around trying to find him.
But also, the only value I can see in that, by the way, and hear me out if you guys believe me in this, is that if he didn't think his family were dead before he started that race, would he have won it?
He's Ben-Hur. Of course he would have won. Because he is.
Yeah, but he had the fire of revenge inside him because he thought they were dead.
True.
If he thought they just had leprosy.
He was also like a very good chariot rider.
Which, by the way, they set up in the shittiest one-liner way ever.
Oh, of course.
They didn't. We show him rowing for 5 hours, but they don't show us chariot racing ever.
Hey, budgets, okay? There's still budgets.
Yeah, budgets. Yeah, fucking budgets.
It's cheaper to make a row than it is to stage a whole chariot thing.
But you guys buy that the reason that they hold that the whole thing about his family being dead so he could, you know, do the race better? Do you think that's the reason? I'm saying, did you buy it or not? Did you not want it there? Sure. You're not even fucking here anymore, Ralph.
Okay, so they set it up a little bit more than just the one or two times they mentioned it.
Like two times.
Okay, so they mentioned it when he becomes the son of, what's his name? Aurelius?
Arius.
When he becomes a son, because he's won many times over there. He just came from a race, if they're not mistaken. He just won a race recently. And they're kind of celebrating for that reason, because he won like 5 times in a row in Rome, right? And then they mention it again when he gets to Jerusalem again, right? Or Bethlehem? Where are they? Where are they going? Is it Jerusalem?
Bethlehem? Yeah, I think both.
Regardless. When he gets back, right? When he gets back, they mention it. That he's this chariot racer guy. They have this whole talk with the sheik who trains with the, you know, he shows little things. So yeah, there's talk about him. You just think they only talk about it once. They mention it multiple times, but we never see it until we need to see it. Because why would you need it to show it until the chariot race?
Save that budget.
It builds it up. They kind of build it up for that.
Yeah.
So it works out.
Okay. Cool.
It plays off.
Now, anything else in this movie? That you guys want to talk about? We haven't talked about a big element, and we didn't talk about Esther's involvement at the end, but pretty straightforward. Even for back then standards, it was pretty fucking straightforward. But anything else? I know Lucas fucking checked out already.
I mean, there's not. This is a really basic movie. It's
basic, bitch.
Yeah, there's not much to talk about. It was great at the time,
But nowadays,
I wish you knew more of the connections between what movies have taken from this movie into theirs.
Ben-Hur!
No, motherfucker. You know Gladiator. What I mean. Stop playing you.
Gladiator. Russell Crowe.
Yeah. That's not what I mean either.
His codpiece is in
Alaska.
That's
not exactly what I mean either. All right. That's it for our review and our show, actually. You have been listening to another movie podcast. God damn it. I'm never inviting Luke again. Remember to check up our website, otherpodcast.com, which I promise you no one's ever visited. And check out our email, podmoviecast@gmail.com, to send us feedback on what you think of Luke for real and Ben-Hur. You can follow me personally on Armin Filmmaker and on Letterboxd, which is Filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. You?
At Slothmaster Luke.
And Ralph, if you want to give it.
I'm on Twitter. At Gamer Ralph. That's with two R's and an F.
Remember, everyone, we are a bi-weekly show every other Friday. Next time, on the weekend of the 8th of June, we'll be reviewing Hereditary. One way or another, I'm finding someone to review this movie with. If you guys don't do it, I know you can't do it. You'll be out of town.
Rough. I might not be able to do it.
That's fine.
On an island, probably.
Probably. I don't care where you are. But we're going to do with Hereditary. I heard amazing things out of Sundance last year.
That's the Netflix
year.
One?
No. The Netflix one is called Hold the Dark, which is, I think, coming out June 1st. And
that what? Sounds like a euphemism for like holding in your poop. Ooh, got to hold in the dark.
And it's directed by Jeremy Sonia, the guy who did Blue Ruin. Ooh, and Green Room from a few years back. So that's a really good movie. And our marathon pick is mine that time. And it's going to be Billy Wilder's awesome classic film noir movie, Double Indemnity, which I haven't seen since fucking forever. All these movies I haven't seen in fucking forever. And I don't mean the day it came out either. But it did come out a long time ago. And that is going to be next time on our show. Stay with us until then. I am Oscar.
And Luke.
And Ralph.
Later.
Look, everything in this world is running exactly on schedule. Besides, to leave, we probably have to wait until the movie's over or something.
Well, when is that going to happen?